All right. We're rolling.
Let's crack open the port.
Yeah,
crack yeah. Open the port. The floodgate.
Go for it, Chris. Okay.
Spring has sprung, guys.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Weather's
out of Bellwoods
nice
today. Beautiful day. Masters on all weekend. You guys catch any of that?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I watched Brooks choke there.
I don't know if he choked.
You don't think so? He choked.
Yeah, I guess he should have been hard the last round.
He was first for a while, right?
John Rahm.
That guy's good, man. Why are Spanish so good at... Where's the professional Portuguese golfer?
Yeah.
I gotta ask.
Where is he? I don't know.
Has there ever been one?
Where's João Ramos? He's gotta be...
They're doing the greens.
They're the groundskeepers, eh?
Gotcha.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Cheers like four times.
Open wide for Osaka!
Just got the glove.
Block the wind. Roast the ball.
Something very impressive.
Just got the glove.
We have top players.
Portugal.
Welcome to the Portugal Corner, the podcast where we talk about all things Portuguese soccer, the good, the bad, and the funny. I am Evan.
I'm Patrick.
Justin.
Chris.
And today we have a very special guest, an all-star in Canada soccer broadcasting, Mr. Brendan Dunlop. Welcome.
Hey. Boa tarde, boys.
Hey.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
Good, man. Happy to have you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me here. I feel very at home. It's special. You've got like the Portuguese tile coasters.
Yep.
It's got real. I got real Wayne's World vibes down here in the studio.
Yeah.
Like this is pretty dope. Honestly, that's the best mullet, man.
Thank you.
It is the best. You are representing for like it's just the fusion. You've got the current hipster neighborhood in a long-standing like Portuguese neighborhood.
That's right.
Like all the old Avoz and the Vos looking down. We're like, oh, look at these kids over there with their beanies and their hoods and their mustache. And then boom, here you come.
That's right.
To save the day.
It was crushing at Bellwoods today, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah? You got compliments?
I tap myself on the back.
Ugu the hipster over here.
You're a Benfiquista?
I am a Benfiquista.
How did you become a Benfiquista? And just give us a couple of your favorite players growing up or favorite moments.
Yeah. I think for me, Benfica were like the accessible team as a kid, right? And that was kind of basically it. My avô introduced me to the trifecta. He wasn't that married to it, but he loved football. He loved Sporting, and my avô loved Port, which I'm pretty sure was just to have a rivalry in the house.
Out of spite.
Naturally, right? I don't think she could name you one player. And then I think kind of naturally for that, I chose Benfica because when I went to Portugal, they were everywhere. They must have been champions. It was 98, I think. God, they would have been like João Pinto would have been the star at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was in the lead up to the Euro 2000. So like I needed a club team, and they had a fire away kit. It was like yellow. Was that yellow with the gray and red? Yeah, the telecel. That's
telecel,
right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I could, as soon as you pointed to your chest, I knew you knew.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the big T. Yeah. So maybe it was because it had like a Toronto kind of T look to it, or felt like it could have been a local shirt. Maybe that was it. So yeah, I've been Benfica through and through, man. I've seen them play in a couple of cool places. I was just about to say I saw them play at Fenway, and then I realized that was a lie. I saw Sporting play at Fenway
Ooh.
Park. I've been to Fenway in Boston twice. I've never seen baseball.
No?
No.
Hey, I've been there once and I never saw baseball. I just did the Fenway tour.
Oh, did the tour. Yeah. Okay.
Which was cool.
I saw Sporting play Celtic. It was supposed to be Celtic and Rangers, and the Boston Police Department refused to work it.
Oh.
So at what point in like the planning, Sporting came in to fill the gap? I have no idea.
Who wore green?
Yeah.
they got the same kit.
Yeah, no. Sporting wore the stripes, and I guess Celtic had like that dark away kit.
Damn.
I think that was what they did. But yeah, what a kit clash.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've seen Benfica play in Toronto. I've seen Benfica play Panathinaikos here at BMO.
Oh, no.
And I saw them play Ajax at Stade de Luz.
Nice. So. Yeah, I think we went to the Benfica TFC game when they came one time.
They played TFC?
Yeah.
I remember that Rui Costa played. That was the one time I got to see Rui Costa live. So you were at the Ajax game last year?
Not last year, no. This was a few years ago. 2014? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
nice.
That was in the Zebio Cup, like preseason.
Yeah.
I saw one of those too.
Yeah. That's what sucks about like us. If you live here, you're probably going to travel to Portugal in the summer.
Yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to get there in July, there's no games.
There's nothing.
And so if you happen to be there at the start of August, maybe you get yourself a preseason game. Or if you're one of these smart people that go in September, which is what I've started to do in adulthood, then you can maybe get yourself in the Champions League. So my wife's first Portuguese soccer experience was also with the Alvalade. This is weird, eh? I've got all this sport.
Undercover sport thing, man.
No, it's not, man. I'm wearing a Benfica hat. I'm wearing red, a red Canada sweater, like on purpose. I do love the mix that you guys have here, though. But the fact that there's not a Sporting representative or a Braga or anything else.
Yeah, we try to keep Sporting out of this.
I understand. I guess that's fair.
Once in a blue moon.
Let the other people be fair and balanced, right? You guys don't got to do it.
No.
Yeah.
We have been told we are reasonable, though.
Yes.
That was the review in the comment section?
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Hey, some people want outstanding. Some people say great sound quality. No. These guys are reasonable. You know, they're a reasonable bunch. Yeah.
I like that. We're new to the podcast world, so we're like, thank you. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Take the compliments wherever they come.
Exactly.
There you go. I will give you a compliment, though. Your opener is fire. Yeah, that's probably what hooked me to listening audio because I found you guys on Twitter, had some exchange on Twitter, and I never skipped the intro. A lot of other podcasts, Men in Blazers, like any of these other ones, where you just, you know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds forward.
Yeah.
Not you guys.
No.
I need more Nuno Matos. I love that you found a varying degree of aging Jose Mourinho. There's there's Chelsea Jose you can hear when he's still got a bit more verve. Then there's like older Jose where he's like salty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
That was Chris who made that.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go, buddy. I had a joke on one of my last jokes on Footy Prime, actually, was if you had changed your GPS to soccer voices, how much better it would be to use your GPS in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And so we bantered through the bunch. I'm like, yeah, but then you'd get to like Jose, right? And you think like, oh, it'd be great. And you're driving. You're like, man, like it's not working. I prefer not to speak. Turn left. Okay. Or turn right. Then you're lost.
Get into the soccer.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Portuguese league, big game, Porto Benfica, the Clásico. Benfica lose 2-1 at the Luge to their great rivals FC Porto, despite an early lead from Gonçalo Ramos hitting off the crossbar and then Diogo Costa to take the lead in the 10th minute. Dragons persist and come back in the capital with goals from Uribe and then Taremi, Galeno's goal called offside just before halftime.
You let the Porto guy open?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the host.
I know, but I mean,
this whole
like,
thing's his idea.
Yeah. He's outnumbered today. Comes in with the PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. Just, I'm going with the opener. Yeah. Look at this shot of the blue and white stripe jumping all over the Luge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He's outnumbered, but he won. We can't say anything.
Yeah.
Bring it
up.
We've actually had a weird thing of every time we have a guest, we'll have our friend that does the Sporting podcast. And whenever we invite him, it's always before the game. Mm-hmm. And then
his team loses. He's got to come over and explain himself.
Yeah. Come over and be salty. Yeah. Shout out to Danny.
So sorry to do that to you, Brendan. But
it's okay, man.
You know what? And I mean, just to jump into the game here, why that always happens is because usually we'll ask about the big games and when they face Porto, and Porto wins big games.
Yeah.
They fucking, I don't know if it's Sergio Conceição, but you see it. You were just about to mention, but Diogo Costa and Pep come back. There's no way they were going to miss this fucking game.
No.
Pep hasn't played in a month. Of course he's going to be there.
That's why. They couldn't play for Portugal, but they're coming. They're going to come play against Benfica.
It's marked on the calendar, right? And, you know, yeah, I guess props to them.
That's very reasonable.
Reluctantly. Yeah, very reasonable.
Yeah. Thank you.
Porto just has that dog in them.
Yeah.
They know how to get it done. They have the gara.
Yeah, man.
Was that a Matt Turner reference? Matt Turner, the U.S. men's national team goalie, playing for Arsenal, and he was playing against Man City. This is the recent story. Kevin De Bruyne said, man, this American guy, like, he's so different. Like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I was arguing with a referee, and he comes over and says, hey, dog, we got that dog in us. Just back up. And everyone starts laughing, and it defused the whole situation.
I did hear that. I think I got that from that.
Yeah. Subconsciously.
With Benfica, man, arsonist. Poor performance. We were watching it. We were just like, what is this guy doing today?
He couldn't make a pass. Porto was all over him. It was just bad performance. I didn't like him there on the wing. Even when he moved to the middle, I think, in the second half, it was like, well, they were getting dominated in the middle.
Yeah, they were losing that midfield battle. And I think it's, you know, something about Otavio or Uribe, mostly Otavio. He's probably looking across at that midfield and so like, and just like, I'm going to beat you.
I'm winning
guys.
Every ball. Yeah.
I'm winning. Yeah. Mind you.
And he's giving the elbows too, fucking Otavio. Okay.
That one in the first disturber, that one in the first half should have been, I thought, a yellow card.
Dude, he should have got two yellows back to back within like 5 minutes.
I don't know. Was it Otamendi, I think, was jumping, and then Otavio just knows how to exactly stand and then give the shot and then make sure Otamendi lands on his ass. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I didn't touch him. I just went for the ball, obviously, right?
50-50.
I'm a big fan of Otavio. I think that he's one of those guys you can tell has been doubted his whole life, and it just fuels him, right? And he plays with, like, that extra edge. And, man, I think you get into the Portuguese national team in the last few years, and you're not one of these players that had been pipped early to leave Portugal. Like, that's saying something. And they got a really good thing going, you know, in Porto with Conceição right now. And, man, like, they've got so many options. The fact that they can just roller stack you out for like 34 minutes at the end.
Yeah, man.
As the insurance and not having needed that for the first 65 minutes. Like,
yeah. Grealish has been stepping up, and Uribe has always been kind of a staple. It's nice. He stepped up for this game, especially with the goal there.
I would have liked to see Eustáquio start. Maybe he'd get a red like the first game.
That's what Conceição was afraid of. He's going to get an early red again.
Probably, though, to be honest. Like, he's a fierce, he's an intense guy. And he's only got more intense the more I think he's been breeded into that rivalry. But, you know, I think he's obviously aware of it. He's very much he's a Portuguese guy.
Yeah.
And he knows how much it means. But now he, much like Alistair Johnson at Celtic, now he's a part of the rivalry. Right, and he loves it.
Yeah,
and if it was, hey, in a different universe, maybe he's on the other side or he's in another rivalry. But like, he's fully embraced that, which I think Portuguese supporters probably aren't surprised by for how he played at Passos anyway. And if you know anything about the guy,
dude,
but I just think it's cool. He's from Leamington, man.
I know.
Like, how cool is that?
It's wild. Because even when we started this this podcast, I think he was still at Passos. And
he was, yeah.
I remember watching, like, the Gold Cup. We were at Rosa Branca on the patio watching the Canada...
Mexico?
It's Mexico, yeah. Maybe Mexico. Yeah. And just, like, but the whole tournament, like, he was so great. And then when Porto eventually picked him up, I was like, oh, my God, like, this is going to be such a revelation.
Your dream came true.
I know.
But then he started wearing 46, and I'm like, oh, God, he's not going to stick around. Like, this is definitely, like, a low-knee academy shirt. 46?
What
bro,
is that
come
number?
On.
Does that mean
the
something to him?
Same, I have no idea. Yeah. Usually it's like these guys that just, they grow up, like, they got to wear 7, and 7's not available, and they wear 17 or 27, right? You see this graduation. Like Quaresma's first camp, he was 27, and then the whoever was 17. Well, I guess it was Figo was 7, Ronaldo was 17, and Quaresma was 27, and then they all shifted by 10.
I think even at that time it was like Nani took 17 because Quaresma was still like on the
fringe,
the tail end,
right.
And then we went to Inter, Figo was there, and he took 77.
That's what I remember, 77.
That guy could have been amazing.
Man, he had his moment in the sun. I'm glad it all kind of came back eventually. There's some dark years in between.
He's the reason you're a Portista, no?
That's why I love Porto. Just growing up watching him, like, he was destroying defenders, man. It was just a great time to watch.
Does he annoyingly, like, pass with the outside of his boot when you guys are Sunday League?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, oh, God, man, just inside the boot. Like,
stop trying it.
Build that muscle up, man.
He does do that, yeah.
Thiago Travella, take it easy, man. Just pass it to my feet.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Neres comes in late. Justin thought he was going to be the secret weapon.
You know, if we could go up and down Benfica's lineup, no one played well. I can't think of a guy who played well. Maybe Gonçalo Ramos, but they weren't feeding him.
He didn't even score. That went off Diogo Costa.
We were ready for a party, okay? We're 10 points up. Luge is packed. We win. It's 13 points, and this shit's over.
It's
and
Easter then Sunday.
It's Easter Sunday.
Oh, it was Good Friday.
Good Friday.
And it was a funeral. It might as well have been a funeral. It was fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So Ba plays a little bit, and then we need Ba for Champions League. I think it's Uribe clips him in the back of the heel. He's out for a month. Like, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, guys going out. We still have Gilberto.
Yeah.
But
Ba might have been the turning point because he set up the first goal, too.
Yeah. I think we didn't play as well after, but nothing. I mean, it's not like the game goes through Ba. I mean, Ba's he's a guy out there.
He's an option.
He's a guy.
João Mário was a ghost.
Yeah, they kind of eliminated him. Just everybody, right? And then, so then in the second half, actually the commentator made a comment that it was Shelderup, Joel Neves, and someone else were warming up. And I was like, this is what this game needs. Throw on Shelderup. Let's see what he's got. Maybe he can do something crazy.
You want the kids.
Joel Neves would be better than Arsenis. We had to take Arsenis off, and I think it took a while to take him off. It was just, I wanted something. And then he kind of didn't make any drastic changes. We kind of left him out there.
No, yeah.
We took the L.
We put Nares on, didn't do much. And then Musa came on late. That guy's never going to do anything.
let me ask you this random question, okay? I had this correlation the second that Portugal announced Roberto Martinez to be the next head coach. If Benfica don't hire Roger Schmidt, someone who's not Portuguese, do you think the Federation considers hiring a foreign coach?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You're saying that because Benfica's appointment went so well.
It went well, and they went, you know, and they went off the beaten path, right?
Yeah.
And they progressed. They opened their search and thought, oh, who can we have? And, of course, Martinez walks in with his well-presented, like, PowerPoint in his book, and he's such a salesman.
Yeah, you know, he interviews well.
He interviews very well. Yeah, and he won them all over. But I'll say this, every Belgian person I met in Qatar raved about him. And so there was quite a few people who thought, first of all, they were all terrified of Canada, said that was the team they were afraid of most in the group, and how they did feel as though this Belgium squad didn't deserve Roberto Martinez, and they were lucky that he stuck around after the Euros. I thought there was no way he was staying after the Euros. Mm-hmm. Like, that loss to Italy, sure, they were the champions, but, like, that was their tournament, and they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. He stuck around for another cycle. He takes this team with Eden Hazard as the captain. Like, that team had no business of getting out of the group, which obviously they didn't do. But I was surprised by how many people said, like, Martinez was their gift, and they were so fortunate and blessed to have him. And then I got quite a few messages after Portugal hired him. Like, oh, you're so lucky. I don't think there's too many Portuguese people that feel that way.
No, dude, it was pretty divided online. People thought he was going to be like Fernando Sanz part two with like a big defensive.
Defensive.
It's still early, bro. He may still be.
He's moving everyone back. He's moving the three back guy. And then we saw the call-ups, and they're essentially the same. But, I mean, if those are the top 23 best Portuguese players, that's the top three.
I think that's his first call-up. You gotta welcome the vets back and show them everything's cool. One of the things I heard about him is that, like, when he was at Belgium, he was going to, like, the second division games. He's going to, like, all the small teams, like, checking out scouting players everywhere. And, I mean, well, it was, like, the first couple weeks when he took over Portugal. He was at, like, every game of the weekend. He's doing, like, 5-6 games a week.
He calls himself a real, like, nerd. Like, he really loves it. So, yeah, he's going to be part of the Famille Sound really quick.
Yeah.
Driving to watch their games and everywhere else in between.
Yeah. He's doing his homework.
Yeah. He's got PowerPoints and everything. Yeah.
In terms of hiring a Portuguese coach, like, once Mourinho said no, I don't think there's anyone with a big enough, like, background to really bring on that you can expect to do more.
One of those guys who coaches Brazil, one of those Brazilian clubs, no?
Abel Ferreira, but I don't think he was ready to leave yet. He's still doing great down there.
I don't think Jose was ready for it either.
No, no.
Right? But he'd always said that, like, it's an old man's job. Mm-hmm. And he's admitted reluctantly that he's getting older. But I don't think he wants to believe he's an old man.
But with him too, I think it's just like he started at Roma. He's got so much to give to that project. Like, he's only been there one season, and you know, he won the Conference League.
Yeah.
But even with that, I feel like he just wants to prove something there still.
I don't think so. I think he wants to get out of Roma so bad.
Really?
You're going to finish top four this season.
He's going to go to PSG next year or something where he can win something really big.
What are they going to win? Liga? That's bigger?
Again?
That's bigger than finishing top four in Serie A? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think we've called that a farmer's league before.
For sure. But I think they always have a chance at champions, right? Roma's.
That's true.
Really. He wants to go somewhere with money and he can pick his own players, right?
Yeah.
I think. This is my theory. But in terms of Roger Schmidt, he can pick his own players, and he did, and this team sucked. No. Evan's much better with the segues than I am.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I'm here to totally derail your podcast.
No, man. No.
You guys are full game recap. I'm story time. What do you think about this theory?
We're big on yes and. So we'll just follow you whichever way you go.
Whatever comes to your mind, just go for it.
There you go.
But yeah, for this game, it was nice to see. One of Porto's biggest weaknesses has been the wingbacks. No Zaidu, no João Mario. We started with Manafa, who I don't think I've seen play in like 6 months, and Wendell, and both of them turned out really well. Manafa had like the game of his life, And even we subbed in Joel Mario. He came on for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes and went out injured. So.
Oh, yeah. You didn't need to do that to him.
Dude, he wasn't ready. Why are you bringing a guy in that's injured still?
Re-injure him?
The old Kevin Durant move.
And then the crowd cheered.
Yeah.
Of course. But yeah.
Every time I see a Stacu play, though, I'm 35 minutes. He's had better performances, of course. But I'm so glad that John Herdman cap-tied him when he did. Mm-hmm. Because I truly believe Ostaki would have been playing for Fernando Santos, and would have been.
You think?
I really do.
Ooh. That midfield. I think he would have so got capped, deep, though.
I don't think he would have started a lot.
I think he would have been on that World Cup team.
I feel like he'd be in the conversation.
He loves DMs, man. He could have gone with three.
Yeah.
He could have gone with three across the middle. He'd be in heaven.
He was hot for.
I'm not saying it's the right move to have three guys, or that he would pip the two in front of him.
I don't know, man. I just feel with Portugal, it's like the. As good as Eustáquio is, like, that squad is too deep. There's too many players that do this, not the same job, but, like, no offense to Eustáquio, but, like, Ruben Neves over him, like...
Paulinho.
Paulinho, dude, like...
You watch the Portugal games over there in Qatar.
What do you think? Look at the pronunciation, buddy. Wow.
Yeah, we have a podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're a global podcast. It's the most debated word of the last 12 years, right? What country is that? Okay.
Yeah. Some Middle Eastern friends.
Yeah, it's okay. Habibi, go ahead.
How was I going to go with
I was Ruben Neves
didn't play well.
Yeah, how did you feel the DMs did play? Because that was a big controversy. Neves, Paulinho, who should have played? Why did we lose to Morocco? What the fuck happened?
Bring it down. You were there.
That was such a broken game. I was home for that. I was there for the first 2 weeks. I worked every Canada game, and I got to announce the starting 11s for every Canada performance. And that first game against Belgium, man, was insane. The sound in that stadium was wild. I think they'd announced that they speculated there were 7,000 Canadian tickets. There had to have been north of 10. It was probably like 12, and it filled the sound filled the stadium.
Amazing.
It was incredible, and I couldn't resist when I got to number 7, the Portuguese prince Stefano Staki. And I got a couple of messages from friends who are Voyagers, like, bro, Portugal's in the tournament. He's Canadian now. Like, leave it. So the next against Croatia, I called him the Leamington legend.
Nice.
And it didn't work out for him. So I feel like I cursed him. Right? I should have just stuck with the plan.
Yeah.
I did see Portugal, though. I went to Lusail, which hosted the final, and saw Portugal and Uruguay. And I'll tell you, it was the first time in my life. And I said to my cousin, who I was with in Paris to see Portugal beat France and win the Euros in 2016, I said, I understand United fans. He goes, what are you talking about? Like, are you watching him? And he goes, Ronaldo? I'm like, of course I'm talking about Ronaldo. He's like, yeah, of course I'm watching him. I'm like, and don't you see it? See what? He doesn't move, man. He just wants the ball to come to him, and he doesn't move. And there's all these opportunities where just a half interest in a press would have potentially changed the outlook, because it would have forced them to do something different. Instead of just play like a men's league team that's better and pass around you. And I didn't think I would get to that point. And I was disappointed that I felt like he didn't.
I mean, there's no better game to explain that than the hair of God.
Yeah, that's right.
To get
that's
that
right.
tip.
That's right. Yeah. That was funny to watch him run around and claim it. I was in like the front of the upper deck. Interesting thing about Qatar, and particularly this World Cup, is there was a lot, you know, there was a lot of questions like, are they seat fillers? Are they just giving away tickets? Like, it's hard to say, because the local population is not a Middle Eastern population. It's an expat population, largely a South Asian expat population. And so the upper deck was filled with Portuguese shirts and Portuguese flags. But there wasn't many ethnic looking Portuguese faces, which is fine and cool that like the whole crowd was cheering for Portugal. But that was very different from Paris for me, where you had so many people, because there's such a large Portuguese population in Paris, who are French, but they're ethnically Portuguese and they're cheering for Portugal, and they're running around like me, not knowing how to speak to anybody because you don't know. je ne parle portugais. Bonne chance. Like, okay, good. Like, wow, all these guys decked out in Portuguese gear. I'm decked out in Portuguese. We can't speak to each other in any language.
Yeah.
To answer your question, what was it like to watch Portugal? It was good. Yeah, it could have been better. Okay, I still don't understand how they lost to Morocco.
Yeah. Fuck. Being in as a media guy, being in the media, you think that was smart of Ronaldo to do that interview right
Piers
before?
Morgan?
I had to go with Piers Morgan especially.
I still can't believe he's in Saudi Arabia, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a direct result, right? Like, you're untouchable after that. Like, no one wants to kind of put you on their team.
I mean, I think he was probably, like, did he dig his own grave? I think he was probably running out of more options than he would like to admit anyway.
Yeah.
Man, the movie that comes out about the divorce between him and George Mendes, that is going to be... epic. I don't know who Mendes sells that to.
Yeah.
But you know it's not coming from Ronaldo's side.
No. And you know, based on the Figo documentary, that Paulo Futre is there for some reason too. Like, why is he here?
Is he involved in this?
Some reason, yeah. If and half the documentary would be in Spanish when you're like, this could just be in Portuguese or English.
Yeah.
Like, no, they did it in Spanish. That's gonna be a piece for sure. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, Ronaldo totally miscalculated that. I don't know what he actually thought the outcome was, apart from I can get out of this contract that they clearly are not going to break otherwise. But no one was going to, it seemed like no one was really going to touch him before. You know, if he left in the summer, and I really believe that this could have happened, and that if maybe they pushed harder or he changed his perspective, this could have happened. I thought he was going to go to Roma. They weren't in the Champions League this year, but I believe that they could finish top four.
At them now, I remember murmurs of that.
And he's also someone who's like, he doesn't believe that he can't play in the Champions League next year. He's looking at minimum two years, if not 4 years at the top level, right? He's not coming to MLS before he's 40. So I thought.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, the story came out that Sporting Kansas City, of all teams, were the team MLS team closest to signing him. And somehow created a comparable package to the Saudi package.
Wow.
What comparable package?
No way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
With sponsors, maybe, or something.
What, Tourism Missouri is throwing out this much? How is that? What do you mean? But they rolled Patrick Mahomes in on this, and they explained to his camp what it was like to be a superstar in a small market, and I don't know how much barbecue you could promise a guy. But, like, you know, then to see how it plays out, where his best option was, take the cash inside. Yeah. At least he made Piers Morgan look like an idiot. Because Piers said, you would have just taken a king's ransom in Saudi Arabia if you didn't want to play at the top level, right?
Right.
He's like, of course I want to play. So he's gone and signed an Al Nassr.
I always thought we were always kind of romantic about it, and, like, bring it back to the Portuguese league. It was like, oh, Sporting's the move. But then when he straight up said, they're talking about these clubs like Sporting and Napoli. How are they going to afford me? I was like, oh, shit. Oh, that's a fucking slap in the face.
Yeah,
they couldn't pay him anywhere close to that.
But, no, I didn't think it was about the money, but it's always about the money. Yeah. It's always about the money.
You take a pay cut, man. It's your home club.
Yeah.
And I think he would do that at 40.
Yeah.
I think he would do that post.
He could still do that later, yeah.
I think he would come back and say, look, $5 million. Well, you're in the Champions League. Let me play.
They gotta, they gotta finish top three
for his mom.
I don't know if they're gonna do that this year.
You think he still might do it for his mom?
Yes.
Yeah, he promised his mom he would do it.
He does it for anyone. It's for her.
But will they want him at that point? That's the question.
Yeah. Mm.
Also thought like he'd go to Wolves. If he was still with Mendes, he would have been at Wolves already.
That would be cool. Be better than Diogo Costa. That guy can't do anything.
Yeah,
it's too bad. Yeah, he was in his prime, man. He was amazing.
Yeah. Oh.
That, like, what a shit disturber. Diego Costa.
And he has his chances now. He just, like, can't bear anything. Yeah, I don't understand why. But.
He's 48.
Fair.
his ID says he's younger, but he's 48.
Oh, yeah. This was the Galeno offside. I don't know. I still don't believe that, man.
Why are you complaining about this, man?
You won the game, dude.
I know. Don't get the VAR.
6 centimeters is a lot.
Take the win. We're still on Benfica, so in case we probably don't go back to Benfica, I'll just say the hardest part is that we have this game tomorrow. And, you know, something about sports, it's like you always just think the next game's going to be like the last game.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, we played like shit. Now you're worried about playing like shit tomorrow. If we were hot, we'd be like, we're going to fucking steamroll Inter, even though every game's a new day, right? So now what we're thinking is, I'm worried. I'm always worried.
I'm always worried.
It's Inter, But just remember that they look the same as Bruges. Same shirts.
Right. That might help.
Same shirts.
Just imagine it's Bruges.
Go to bed thinking of that. Like Denzel Dumfries, he's basically a Dutch Tejan. And he won't be as effective. It's fine.
Justin's thinking they're blue like Porto, though. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's the blue he sees.
Dude, Inter has
Dragons are kind of like snakes.
Inter hasn't won a game since March 5th.
Really?
Yeah. They've just drawn or lost every game since March 5th.
So they're hungry.
Oh, they're hungry.
They're due for a win.
They're due for a win.
In a way, it might be like a wake-up call. Like, Arsenis, hey, that was dog shit. Whatever the hell we just saw, you got to be way better tomorrow.
I think the most underrated line if you use today is dragons are like snakes.
Similar. I saw you laugh over there.
I'm thinking of the Alfa Romeo logo. I'm like, I did think that was a dragon before it was explained like to me that that is a snake.
What, are you worried? Are they at home? Are they at home tomorrow? Or are they away?
We're in the loop.
In the loop.
Back to the football. So, you worried?
We're in the luge.
What's going on? You're worried?
Champions League has been our competition. We seem to show up, but Benfica, you know, and I'll just say this about Porto. Porto's Benfica always either finds a way to lose or just gets outplayed. And, you know, you can blame it. I'm not going to blame Arthur Suarez Diaz or the ref or anything like that. All those calls seem legit, except maybe Otavio could have got a yellow a little earlier and he would have changed his game up. Other than that, though, I mean, they just got to recover, you know. And Ba out is not going to be good, but we're going to have Grimaldo. He's going to play.
Well, Gilberto looked good when he came in this Porto's game.
Gilberto looks decent, but I just hope that, you know, Antonio Silva's confidence isn't hit. Like, Lautaro and Lukaku aren't nobodies. I mean, look, they haven't been playing well this season.
Oh, well, don't count out Zeko.
Lautaro had a pretty bad World Cup, even though he won the World Cup. But, I mean, I could, you know, Flaca Dimos worries me. Let's get back to the Porto game. Yeah. That second goal, Uribe, like, it just rolls past him.
The Taremi from Taremi the top goal. Of the box? Yeah.
You think that's savable? I thought it might have been.
Odin can't stop these shots. They're like low into the corner. Like, and they're so slow too. There's a three that went in.
Yeah.
Galeno won too.
Yeah. So it's better to just be positive and just say like, we're going to win.
That's hard for you. You're Portuguese.
That's right, right?
Yeah. Trust me. As someone who's half Portuguese, I'm always overcompensating. I got all of the good traits. Like, I'm pessimistic. I'm late all the time. Yeah. I'm very hairy. I got all the good Portuguese traits in the half.
When you're Portuguese Benfiquista, you're just thinking like, all right, when's this going to go wrong? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's going to turn.
Especially in Europe. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's how I always feel about watching the national team. Like, something's going to happen.
Of course. Yeah, except for that one time.
You don't feel
won.
That way when Porto plays, though.
No.
Confident.
Got Sergio Conceição, man.
Yeah. He's a special guy. He was one of my favorite national team players, actually. He was on that Euro 2000 team. He was amazing, right? I love that he's become a manager like this. And I don't know if you guys heard Stephen Eustáquio when he was here with Canada to play Honduras. And he was asked about his game and he was scoring goals now and what it's like to settle in and you know, be a regular. I know he's not a consistent starter, but he's certainly
he's getting there.
He earned a permanent transfer, which a lot of people didn't think would happen.
After
his loan move. And he said, you know, my coach has instilled in me that I can be more offensive. Naturally, I'm very defensive. That's how I think. That's my comfort level. And he's forced me to push out of it. And like his personal goals, he wants to have 10 goals and 10 assists this season. Right, that's an anti Fernando Santos player.
Exactly,
yeah, true.
That's Fernando Santos sitting there like, could have had this guy. His offensive wonder kid. No way.
Well, it was the last time Porto played Sporting, and he scored that goal from the top of the box. It was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, Adan maybe should have had the save, but still got it in.
Just I think an example of how Conceição is bringing players to another level that maybe they honestly didn't think that they could even get to, and he's done that a lot. There's quite a few examples in that team. So
As someone who's not really a player and just always more of a fan, it always kind of like interests me or boggles my mind of like, okay, this guy can put the ball wherever he wants on the field, right? Like as a passer, like, so why doesn't he just pick that corner of the net and put it in there, right?
It's funny you bring that up. I went to the league below MLS, has changed titles a million times, USL. Mm. And the Tampa Bay Rowdies were coached by a friend of mine, Thomas Rongen. This is 2015. They're in Ottawa playing the Fury. And so I made the drive up with a buddy to watch them play. And Julian Guzman is playing for Ottawa at the time. And there was a player on Tampa who was always open. Like on he played that wing, like standing on the touchline. And he always was open, waving, yelling, the Brazilian guy. And I said to the coach afterwards, I'm like, number 11. I'm like, the other guy's not like him? And he's like, comes right out of the stadium smoking. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, number 11, man, he's always open. They never pass him. No. They don't have a problem with the guy. They make $2,000 a month. They can't make that fucking pass. Like, oh, yeah. From my trajectory, it seems obvious that you would just ping it across the pitch.
To switch this guy it, man. Wide open.
Different skill levels.
Yeah, man, for sure.
I think that closed the book on Benfica. Until tomorrow, and if you're already listening to this on Wednesday, hey, we won. It's fucking awesome.
It's fucking gravy.
I've got one more question that's related to Porto and Benfica.
Go for it.
Apologies if this is a conversation you guys have previously had. But we're in a unique situation as like Lusa Portuguese guys, right? Where we didn't, we're not living there day to day in the rivalry. And you probably don't work or you're not around a lot of other people that are not family, that are not in on the rivalry, right? For me, I am a Benfiquista. But in the Champions League, unless obviously they're playing Benfica, I want to see Porto go as far as they can.
Right.
Yeah.
And if a Portista tells me the same about Benfica, I've grown to kind of accept that, that on, at least on this side of the pond, is the normal. Because it's just for the betterment of Portuguese soccer in general. If you had two of them in the last eight, that's incredible. And there was a couple years ago where we did have that. You know, that was really special. I would never cheer them against each other, of course. But I would love to see Porto win the Europa League if Benfica couldn't do that. Same for Sporting.
I think our general consensus on that matter, which I think we talked about a couple weeks back, was just like, go as far as you can, but I don't want to see you win.
Right.
Don't take the goddamn trophy. That's one step too far.
Don't take the trophy and don't beat the team. Right?
I don't want to be unreasonable here, but I want them to lose every game they play.
Okay.
And I would like them to get relegated.
Relegated.
Yeah, you know that you don't want them to
get
relegated.
But that's in the same competition. No, like that's in the league. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
No, Europe too. Like, I don't want them to win.
Ever.
Okay. Really?
Just get played off the pitch.
You're well, I'm hot right now. We just lost to them.
Fair. No, I understand.
Not the right week to ask.
Sensitive, right?
Bad timing for me to bring it up. Yeah. Stay over there, Switzerland.
Yeah. Seriously, you wouldn't want them to get relegated, though. Because it, like, diminishes the league. It's like, you know, Batman's Joker.
They'll be right,
you know what I mean?
They'll be right back up. I want them to suffer, like, a lot.
The only way
they could suffer for
the only
year,
way any of those teams are getting relegated is they, like, breach some kind of, like,
corruption,
European rule. Like, that's the only
way. Well, it happened, 100%. And they didn't relegate them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, they can't even do that.
Yeah.
Who went down? Is it Boavista?
They sent Boavista down a lot.
And they came right back up.
Well, Santa Clara was on the bad end of one of those too.
I think so.
Yeah. The argument was, they look like Benfica. Look.
Yeah.
Send them down.
Close enough. Oy. Are you Azorean at all?
No, I'm Continent. Yeah.
Continent.
From near Peniche. You know where Peniche is?
Mm.
Yeah.
Just south of there. A place called Lornier.
So who's like your like home club?
The home club? No.
Peniche.
There's a team in Lornier. They play in the third division. I've never seen them. And they've never been in season when I was there.
Mm.
So I actually don't know the name. They were if they're even still in the third division. They were forever outside of the proper football league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to go look that up again now.
All right.
We're putting you on the spot. We're giving you the hard-hitting question.
No, it's okay, man. It's okay. I'll tell you one preseason story. It was a TASA game, actually. So I felt like, oh, this is legit. And we planned a day trip to go to Aveiro, which is beautiful.
That's where we're from.
Hey, there you go. It's
Betamar.
Love it. Yes. So Betamar at the the big stadium that they built for Euro 2004. It's all like sun soaked. Like the panels look horrible. Like it's just melting out there. It feels like you're like in the desert as you drive up to.
They don't know how to get anyone in there.
So they were playing. Oh my God! It's a team from the north, and it's a team that Jordan Hamilton went to on loan. It starts with a T. And it'll come to me at the end of this show. Trofans. There you go. This guy, legend. Double check, but I'm pretty sure it's Trofans.
Yeah.
Anyway, so see the fixture listed. Betamar first, right? Amazing. We're going to be in Aveiro this day. Fantastic. So through a connection that knew Jordan Hamilton, he sets me and my family up. Six tickets. We're going to go to this TASA game. Perfect. Drive up. It's like 2 hours before. And it's this, the stadium at Betamar there is a huge, like I would say American style, right? It's built for a big game. So it's huge parking lots. And right away, as soon as we turn the corner and see the parking lot, I go, oh, shit. This parking lot's really empty for a game that's starting in 2 hours. We're driving to the front. I'm like, this does not look like a... I mean, I know there's probably going to be 1,000 people here. They're just playing in the first round of the TASA, but come on. Walk into the shop. Hey, the game's here? No, the game's there. No, it's listed in the paper here. No, it's definitely there. Oh, so I missed the game. Couldn't make it.
Oh, shit, for real? Yeah. Is that far away?
Stadium.
Yeah, it was like... So did you look it up, Trofans?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like near Porto. Like I wouldn't.
Oh damn!
Yeah, wouldn't have made it in 2 hours time. Ooh, got it.
Oh, that sucks.
So I've
man.
Only been to the Stadio Luz. That's the only stadium.
But you got to see
Alvalade. Sorry,
you got to see the Betamar Stadium. That's
I
nice.
Got to see the stadium from the outside. Yeah, all nice. Sun drenched and
it's like a bouncy castle. Yeah.
But Aveiro is a cool place. It's like the Portuguese Venice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got the. Little canals. Rivers in between canals, yes. Rivers, I didn't even know what it's called.
Yeah. No, we've been there once, but long time ago. Mm. We got to go back.
Yeah.
Betamar's got to get back up to the first league.
Yeah, get him up. Yeah. Good, you tweeted about them this week. I guess because there's a gentleman, I guess, on Twitter who's been to all the stadiums, and he featured that one, right?
Yeah, he was talking about the stadium.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. All right. More Portuguese league. Young Spanish left winger Ivan Jaime scores 2 to help Famalicão beat Passos. 3-1 game. Yeah, this Spanish guy, Ivan Jaime, has been lighting it up.
Get him on your fantasy teams if you play along with us.
You're playing Primeira Liga Fantasy?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Whoa. The Real Fever app.
So join it up. Fever app. Man,
that's how I start paying attention to teams outside of the big boys. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. I couldn't name you a single player on Passos right now. Not a single one. And before, I could only name one, and now he played support.
Vitorio Antunes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's still there.
Still there.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Samaras, who used to be on Benfica, and Gaitan's over there trying to pull them up.
Yeah.
Gaitan, who's also a former Benfica player.
Yeah. Samaras is on Real Ave.
And Paulo B.
Oh, those are Real Ave?
Samaras.
Yeah. Oh, Samaras. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Gaitan's on pass rush.
Well, then cut that.
It's okay.
Bovista punching up the table as they beat Guimarães 2-1. Some spectacular goals from Makuta and red-hot Salvador Agra. Yeah, Makuta with that free kick, top shelf. Ooh. And
Makuta. Makuta just has that dog in it.
Bovista just scores bangers, man. Salvador Agra, like you said, red-hot, and that free kick. Contender for Stonk of the Week. Now, should we explain to Brennan what Stonk of the Week is?
Yeah, vamos.
Chris, go ahead.
I mean, we still don't know what a Stonk is. Basically, it's got to be outside the box, arguable. It's got to be really fast. Can it hit the bar? Can it not hit the bar? I don't
preferable.
Know.
Preferable bar down.
It's our favorite English word. We got it off pretty much Men in Blazers when they said Stonker, and we're like, we love that word. Mm-hmm. And we're like, each week we try and pick our favorite, our best blast of the week.
It's like a Seedorf blast or like Gerrard blast outside the box.
Stonk of the week.
Okay, okay. As someone who's never scored a beautiful goal in my life, I can't really relate to that.
But you've seen them.
I'm in a final tomorrow night, though. Co-ed league. Co-ed league final, yeah. I've been playing co-ed 7v7 for the last, probably like 10 years.
Nice.
Seven, how does that work?
Yeah, it was 6 outfield players.
Right? Okay.
It's better than 5-a-side, I think. Because you're playing on a third of a pitch, and let's be honest, the older everyone gets, the less everyone runs outside of that night you're playing soccer.
Preach, brother.
So to have a better person, you can play a very complicated 2-1, 2-1 formation, 2 and a diamond. Yeah, I play at the top because I'm less of a liability. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, about 3-4 times a season, a ball falls to me in the 6-yard box or the equivalent of, and now I'm scoring goals with my left foot. This is a new thing since becoming a dad, 2 goals. Both in my left foot.
Wow. Inside the 4.5-yard box.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, one was just outside. I even did like a shoulder dip, and then it was already a 6-0 game. Yeah.
What does that 8-0
in a semifinal.
What does that put Brendan behind Ronaldo for left-footed goals?
I think probably like
297.
Something like that.
I'm chasing it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm chasing it, yeah.
As you should.
So, sorry, Stonk of the Week, who did you give it to?
We still got to figure that out.
We're going to go through.
We're going through.
The best pre-show meetings are on the air.
Yeah.
The best ones.
Arouca beat Marítimo 1-0, as does Vizela over Santa Clara. All the teams at the bottom of the table are winless this week, so nothing changes down there. Other news, Renovo, Ricardo Horta once again states his love for the quarry with a contract until 2028.
And he should stay there. That's a
giving up on him.
That's a perfect place.
This is weird. I thought Benfica were gonna get him, but it looks like he just wants to stay there. Maybe.
I think now with this new ownership, these are smart business decisions that they're having.
They can pay him.
You jack up the prices.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the eggs.
That's right. Like what's that guy?
You're paying a lot for eggs right now.
What's that
jabroni? The egg prices are up, right?
What's that guy? Weston, whatever.
McKinney.
No.
Weston.
Galen Weston.
Oh, the law
blog.
Galen
guy.
Weston. Yeah. They're Galen Westoning Ricardo Horta, is essentially what I'm telling
you. Exactly. We got there.
Wow. I've never thought, what would it be like if my Avo did a podcast? And, like, that's exactly it.
Oh, the price of eggs. This is Galen Weston.
Weston, you know.
Prime Minister.
Actually, I was thinking about my Avo driving out here because one of my best things in college was. Oh, want to get together, watch the game this week? No, I can't. I have to go for Toby Cox. Where? I have to go for Toby Cox. You have to go for Toby? What the hell are you talking about? He's like, Toby Cox, you know, west of Toronto, east of Mississauga, Toby Cox. Etobicoke?
Yeah.
Wow.
Toby Cox. We're going to call it that now.
Toby Cox.
That's going to be a permanent.
I didn't realize that was unique to Mario. I thought that was everyone that spoke with that accent.
Yeah. Well, I knew what you said right away. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Bragan Rec, Estoril 4-1, goals by Abel Ruiz, Pizzi, Yuri Medeiros, and young Swedish right back Josefad Mensch, who scores a sensational goal at the end of the game. And Estoril's goal by Carlos Eduardo was pretty nice, too.
Yeah, so that Josefad Mensch goal is also a contender for Stunk of the Week. He ripped that.
Yep. You just hear nothing but net in the...
Yeah, that net's mic'd up.
Yeah.
It's also got to be one of the best names in the league.
Yeah.
Swedish guy named Josefad Mensch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Dude, he's already capped for Sweden. They snapped him up right away.
Damn.
Yeah, no chance. He's coming to play for Braga, but we'll never see him. But
Braga looked particularly rolling this game. They were
rolling.
Yeah.
I want to go to the quarry.
That's on the list for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been to a stadium in Portugal, but I think that's my number one stadium. It's just so unique. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You should do more stadiums since you're like the neutral guy.
I know. I should see them all.
Or maybe Braga's your team.
Yeah.
Possibly.
No, his Portuguese team is Wolves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Pizzi with the goal there. Finally got on the record for Braga. After so many years.
Nice goal. He was jacked up.
He was pumped. He did like a stilted kind of dance. We didn't even know what that walk was.
And he did his signature salute.
Of course he does.
I'm glad he got a few caps. Mm-hmm. He deserved it.
Yeah, it's nice that he's back in Portugal just in general.
He should be. Like, some of these guys are wasting their time down in Saudi Arabia, not naming any, you know, particularly big guys, but there's some other
people. They're getting paid, brother.
Yeah, or like Talisca.
Or in Turkey.
Talisca.
Dude, that guy's career has spiked since Ronaldo's gone back, too.
Or just those guys in Turkey. It's like, just play on Braga. Just play on freaking Paso.
I think Simão went to Qatar.
Yeah, he probably took the bag. I think he played in India, too.
Did he play for FC Goa?
Yeah.
I think he did play in India, right?
Yeah.
And Hugo Almeida went there to Qatar, I think.
Hugo.
He's him and Canadian Paul Stalteri are the reason that Werder Bremen is my Bundesliga team.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Nice.
I always have to explain that to people. They're like, oh, Stalteri. I'm like, yeah, and Hugo Almeida. Who? He was great.
Yeah. He scored that one free kick against Inter that the ball just like, I think it was when he was still at Porto, but the ball just like rise right to the top corner. It was a beautiful free kick.
We saw him at the end of his career when me and brother went to go see Ferenc play, where dad's from the south. And he was playing on Academica, his home team.
Coimbra.
And he scored and he won the game.
Wow. Yeah.
Still,
I think he finished his career there in Academica. He's a coach there.
That was
something
in the
now.
Second division, yeah.
He was a big boy. Earlier in the week, Sporting tied Gil Vicente 0-0. Gil Vicente also tied Chaves today 0-0. That's their specialty. Steven Vitoria with the shutout, though. Shout out.
The penalty kick master.
Dude. While we got you here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we talk about this all the time.
We fight about this.
Belgium?
Yep.
You know where this is going.
Steven Vitoria wasn't ready.
He
wasn't ready.
Is that what?
You should have taken it.
You can confirm that?
I don't think he was ready. No, man, it was... look, John Herdman actually was asked this after Jonathan David didn't take the penalty against Honduras in the Nations League game. And he said, we have a designated penalty kick taker. It is Jonathan David. But I trust him that if he believes someone else should take the ball and he decides, go ahead, then I trust him. And it just happened to not work out these two prominent times. The most prominent one being, of course, the World Cup.
Yep.
The only.
But at that time, I believe, if I remember correctly, he didn't have a penalty kick taker. He said, I leave it to the boys on the field. And then this new time with the Kyle Larin, I think, it was
He said, okay, it's David
now.
Together.
Yeah, now it's David, but he wanted to give it to Larin.
Yeah.
But I think at the time...
I think you're right. There was a lot going on in Qatar.
David just picked it. I mean, sorry. Davies picked it up and said, like, this is mine.
He wanted to be the first goal scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my moment, right?
And yeah, he did end up being.
And it meant a lot. And man, I'll never forget that. I was eye level when he soars through the air and gets on the end of that Tejan cross. And I swear, the sound stopped. It was like seconds went by. He just in slow motion. I think the second it came off of Tejan's boot, I'm like, that's going in. Like, we're 2 minutes in the game. That is going in. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm in the back of a couple of Getty Image shots. You can see.
Nice.
Like, I'm just this like little smiling speck wearing Canadian plaid. It was pretty cool.
That's sweet.
Forever Canadian heritage moment, man. Yeah.
Nice.
Forever in history.
I remember when that goal went in, I was like, guys, we're going to fuck Croatia. We're fucking Croatia.
I think I said the same thing.
Yeah. We did not fuck Croatia.
No.
We got fucked.
Dude, I was at the Dog and Bear that day, and it was so packed. There was a lineup out the door at like 10:30 to get into that bar, and it was like busier than like any club night that they've had. It was just body to body.
That's where you go
there.
Clubbing, Dog and Bear.
No, but it's like at night it turns to
a,
like.
No, no,
it,
I got you.
I don't go there, okay. but at night I go there for soccer in the morning. Yeah. But like 11 o'clock in the morning, it was insanely packed. It was crazy, and everyone was losing their minds. It was such a great moment.
I wish it carried through.
Yeah.
I do too. It all went south when Stakio had to come off injured. That was it.
Yeah. That was real.
That was it.
Bring it back to the Portuguese connection. That really did affect them.
Yeah. There was,
Modric just took over.
There was a lot in that game. Yeah. I think it was, you know, the Croatians were upset with being doubted by everybody.
Yeah.
Regardless of Herdman's comment. But I think, you know, the unique thing about being Canadian and growing up in Toronto or Mississauga is we have friends from every culture, right? And of all the people that I've dealt with, the people from that part of the world are the last people that you want to give fuel to that you doubt them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So I think he just chose the wrong country.
Why fire up a Balkan, right? Like, it doesn't make sense.
But, I mean, it's one of those things where you look back to and you're like, man, Canada, they didn't make it out of the groups. And you're like, Morocco and Croatia both made it to
the
what?
Semis,
they
man.
Both made the semis. Like, how are you supposed to compete against that?
Yeah.
That to me just, you know, confirms what we all felt. It was like, man, this team played so much better than 0 points and one goal. Yeah. So much better than that.
We felt good coming out of it, but it was 0 points.
Yeah.
We deserve better. Like, the Americans had a better tournament than we did. We had a better team and arguably a better team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we have a better team than USA in general, especially right now. But
we're a tough group.
The Gold Cup is, to me, something they should win.
Yeah,
and what's great about this summer is there's two trophies, right? The Nations League, which is first in Vegas. They got to beat Panama, and then they'll play the winner of the States and Mexico. And the fact that they don't have one of those giants in the semis is such a confidence boost for them because they can go there to Vegas preparing for a final. I think they believe that they're not going to be disrespectful to Panama, but they believe that they're going to beat them. And so they can prepare now, like, for this final, which is before the Gold Cup, which I believe internally matters more to them. So if they come out losing in that final, they're going to be all the more motivated to win the Gold Cup. And, you know, Canada's only done that once in 2000. That's the only team other than the U.S. and Mexico to ever win the tournament. Like, they're going to do it again. I think they're going to do it this summer.
Well, since we're on the topic of Canada, I was going to ask you because, I mean, you are kind of part of Canadian soccer broadcasting history. Like, you're a pioneer, right? You would say. I was doing a little history. I did a little research, guys. Before we had Brandon.
I wouldn't say. I mean, I like to think I'm a reasonable part of Canadian soccer media.
Right.
But yes.
But I remember you were on The Score like a long time ago, and there was like one program on.
Yeah.
And it was the one you were on.
Yeah.
Right?
Footy Show.
The Footy Show.
Were you the guy that slid into my Facebook DMs and said, explain when James Sharman introduced me as our Portugueser because I got this is before Twitter. I came back to the desk.
I was the one writing hate mail and said I should be on this show, not you.
I got back to my desk before Twitter and it had like five messages all from hardcore Portuguese guys who were like, Sharman said you're Portuguese? How? And one of them just said, it was Portuguese flag, explain.
Explain.
Explain the Dunlop part.
Explain.
Yeah, which I've had to do my entire life. So yeah, my mom is Continent. My dad is a cake. So yeah, I've been overcompensating my entire life. I gave my son, my newly born son, he's be 5 weeks old tomorrow. I gave him a very hardcore Portuguese name. His name is Rock.
Nice.
Or Rock for anyone who doesn't roll their R so hard that it sounds like an H. So yeah, we'll see how he grows up.
Our friend Carlos, he said he had an old friend who always used to just Portuguese someone's name.
Yeah.
So you'd be like Bruno dos Lopes, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
So the consulate, I got a letter from the consulate once. I don't know if you guys have gone through the whole passport process. Holy shit. What a process. This has been a 20-year thing for me.
Ooh.
And the first letter that came to me after some phone call, it was addressed Brendan Dunlopes.
That's amazing.
Typed out ES at the end. And I'm like, this finally. I finally got a Portuguese name. My whole life, no one could say Brendan. Yeah. My evolve. Oh, Brenda. I'm like, Brenda is the girl on 90210.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop calling me Brenda. I was so envious of everyone who had a name.
Oh, dude, translate. Same here. My name's Evan. I'm like, where the fuck did this come from?
Man? But this is our parents' generation, they wanted to right? Fit in, they tried so hard to make everybody sound Canadian. That's so it's right. Like. Oh, what? Let's just make it hard for our parents to say our kids' names. Perfect. Jason. Yeah, here we go. How many Johns can we get? Not Joao, John.
But I was going to ask him. A port.
It's good port, right? Yeah, I'm glad you guys got off Cassel Garcia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless Cassel Garcia plays in Benfica's midfield, I don't need him. I don't need him.
Oh, we already had a bottle of Cassel up there.
Yeah, we finished it before you came.
It's just got good branding, though. It's not the best.
It's pretty tasty, man.
Have you done the Alianza, though?
We've done it.
We tried it a week ago. It's up there.
Ago, okay.
It's good for the price.
It's tasty.
Because I messaged you. There was another one you had. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Alianza. It was Gazelle.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't think Gazelle? Oh, no, it's okay.
Like the green bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that one a lot.
I drink them all. Like let's be serious.
You just don't like it because you see it and you're like, this is catered towards cakers. This is to get hipsters in on it.
What do we got? Oh,
yeah,
there it is.
Gazelle. Yeah, the Gazelle's pretty good. But anyway, total derailment. Please compliment me for being a reasonable part of Canadian media history.
Must be wild for you to see how far it has come because, you know, before you couldn't get, like, I think TSN played like one Champions game a week. They had the footy show, which you were on, and now they're fighting for, like, who gets Premier League rights and stuff like that. And they don't even get them.
Dude, but at the same time, it was, like, 15 years ago, there was more soccer on TV than there is now, on cable, at least.
There was?
So this is
there was nothing in Canada.
So this is a great point, actually. In terms of coverage, we have, as Canadians, more access to games than ever before. But on TV, there was supplementary coverage that we don't have now, though we can access all of these extra games on streaming. We don't have the pre-show. You don't have the halftime show. You don't have the post-show. You don't have the footy show that was a Wednesday magazine-style show or whatever it was that we had at the time where I was reading tweets off of the computer and doing live chats to make it interactive and integrated. That's what's been lost. But we do have access to more games. I think that the soccer fan in this country has always had to be creative in finding their league to follow and love. And that, sadly, is what hasn't changed, despite the access. Mm-hmm. Because I've always had the subscriptions. But it sucks, like, how much it costs. Like, I'm paying more for soccer subscriptions that are on top of my cable plan than I do for my car insurance.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't happen.
No.
We don't have the DAZN, we illegally have a box, but there's also one.
I also love that you call it the DAZN. that's real special. Like, get out of the zone. It's the DAZN.
We call it DAZN.
They have
because it's a stupid ass name.
The DAZN.
It's the stupidest name ever, and they won't get me to say that DAZN. But Patrick really loves his TFC, so he's got the Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Then he also loves
it's a rip off.
He likes his York, so he's got the one sock.
$20.
It's like.
I think it's a good package, though. The way that Apple has covered the league is something that North American soccer has really needed. I think what they saw, Apple just in general, saw how successful the Premier League has been with a fixed set of game times, much the same way the NFL is.
Now, I don't like that. All the games are at 7:30.
Agreed. I agree. But that's also, I think, because it's not part of our culture. But if you think about, I don't know how old you guys are. I feel like you're a little younger than me. But for the next generation, right away. As he stares past my eyes and my gray hair and goes, yes. He's talking about you at a time before Twitter. What the hell is this guy talking about? I was born with the internet. What are you talking about? This generation of MLS fans now that are like going to games at 10, at 10 years old, I should say, or they're in their teens and they only remember TFC as a winning club. This is going to be, you know, their Premier League at 10 a.m. in the morning, which was for me after hockey.
Right.
I would come home from a hockey practice or a game, and my dad would make pancakes. We'd watch the Premier League. And it was one game a week live. That's all you got.
Yeah.
The Portuguese League may have been on Omni in Portuguese. There was like a period there where I think it was available.
You usually had to like get the RTP.
RTP International would play one game a week. They would never play the big games.
It'd be like on a Sunday. It would always be a Sunday.
Yeah. So like this week it was the Casapia Sport thing.
You had to drive to your dad's friend's house who had the satellite dish that took up the whole backyard.
Everybody on the roof.
Yeah.
Change the positioning.
We gotta go to his house. Let's go. Let's barge in. They're watching it. We know.
Yeah.
I was a bar guy.
Those were the days.
Yeah. But Dad took me to the bar.
These Canadian kids now are gonna grow up with spoiled access to TFC in the backyard or Vancouver if they happen to be out there. I wish Vancouver had a better turnout. To go back to our cheering for Portugal, Portuguese teams to go farther. I'm a TFC fan, but I would love to see the Whitecaps be a big market. I would love to see CF Montreal be massive because I just want to see soccer in this country grow. I do think, though, that, that timing is going to create for this next generation that Premier League and NFL style feel, which was Apple's intention. I just hope that people outside of the already dedicated soccer community buy into this subscription, because I think that's what they lose. It's the same with the Champions League. Like, it used to be, how many bars are getting DAZN to show the Champions League or to show the Premier League on Fubo? If they already have an audience, then they're doing it. But I think there's something lost that you're not getting Joe who got off work at 3, who sits down because I'm gonna have a Bud Light there, babe. And he looks up and he's like, "What's this soccer on?" And like, that's how you start to get people by just having an accessible.
That's what you lost. I think
you're kind of like just marketing to the diehards, though, because how many bars are gonna pick up Apple Plus?
Yeah, no
you
one.
Can't walk
no
in.
One. I don't think you can find a bar that's playing TFC.
Dude, but even me, it's like I work at a bar and it's like on 7:30 on a Saturday night. If TFC's playing, I have no way to watch it. Like, my bar's not picking up.
But isn't it great? Why is there no 1:30, 3 p.m. games on a Saturday in the summer?
No afternoon games,
like,
there should be.
That's a little weird.
This is what's lost with Apple, and I bet you know they're gonna figure it out. That like they do. There is a level of regionalization that just makes our country and our product unique here, and you don't have traveling away supporters, and you don't have really like a national interest. Like, I don't know how many
too big of a country
TFC fans you guys know who are like, "Oh man, did you see that Real Salt Lake game?" Like, no one's watching games that aren't TFC, and that was definitely the case for years. It was how long was it before TSN started showing games that were not the three Canadian teams? A long time, like 2014 2015 before you could see anything other than the final. I grew up in Windsor, and like the access to soccer for me, remember, this is like mid 90s, late 90s. Portugal's irrelevant. The Euro 96 was my first chance seeing them. Didn't see them again until Euro 2000. Thankfully, after that, they've been a staple. But Canada wasn't on TV. Canada wasn't playing big games. My access to international soccer was the U.S. men's national team, because they played where the Detroit Lions played at Pontiac Silverdome. They were on TV. Every game that they played was on ABC. Mm-hmm. And then the MLS final was always on ABC. And it was a spectacle. 2-hour pre-show, big deal. I'm like, man, I would love to watch this during the season. Why the hell are they called the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars? Is it one or the other? How are they from two places?
Where do they play?
It was very confusing. So I do think that they really serve the hardcore. I hope that they can pull in the new fan. But I do think for people who are already in it and younger and growing up into it, like, that's where the hook will be. It's the it's the kids that are going with their parents now, and they're in high school or they're younger in high school, that they'll be hooked on it forever, and it will become a part of their lifestyle, the way NFL is for maybe an older generation or more people on this side of the pond, and the way the Premier League is in England.
I think it's cool, like, us being this close and this accessible to BMO Field, that we're just like, let's just go to the game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't...
It makes you want to go to the game even more.
Yeah. You're like, let's just go. Like, I'm going to spend money to go to a bar and spend, like, let's just pay the $30 or $50 and just go to the
Yeah, but they're Galen Westing that too, man. should be like $40 to sit at the top or even the
closer. You can find $40 tickets.
Yeah.
Can you?
For TFC, you can.
Yeah.
Hey, you need tickets? I missed so many games, bro. You need tickets? Just call
All
me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we love going. Me and Chris are going this weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I'll be working the game this weekend, so we should we'll connect for.
Okay.
I was gonna say a Spro, but who has Spros at BMO?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Have a $38 beer.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, back to Portugal. On Sunday, Sporting take on Casapia in a back-and-forth 7-game thriller. Francisco Trincão hits a hat trick to help the Lions beat their Lisbon rivals. Dude, Trincão, back at it.
Wild back and forth game. They kept trying to take away Casapia's goals, but they all stood.
Yeah. And they were at home, too. And they're just like, we got to check VAR on every fucking goal.
You got to hand it to Sporting for at least, like, you know, they give their fans a heart in their mouth moments. That's exciting, right? Like,
yeah.
You want your team to be, you know, easy breezy isn't always the most fun. Sometimes you got to have those thrillers.
Yeah.
This game looked crazy, but we were watching the most exciting Sporting event of the weekend. We were watching the Masters.
Yeah. Masters. We couldn't see Sporting because we were watching the Masters. And also, we didn't pay for our box, so they cut our box.
No, the Masters was very exciting.
I wasn't allowed to speak in your opening, but you asked, like, how come there's no, like, Alvaro Algarve was just, like, lighting it up, the guy who's, like, Mr. Portuguese Golf. I don't know why. Yeah. It's probably because they only work the courses for the English.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's it, man. Mm. They're doing the grounds.
But this also surprised me, young one, that you're so into golf. Like,
No, I'm not.
You're not.
Well, I am because my brother is.
He was being sarcastic.
Oh. Okay.
He was like, it was the most Masters. Exciting thing of the weekend.
I got you.
I wanted to watch it. But I golf.
Surprisingly, it blows my mind. I meet people that are like in their 20s who are like into pro golf. They do golf themselves. Then they're watching Liv because they're trying to max out their the Dazen. Is that what you call it? The Dazen.
The Dazen, yeah. Oh, is Liv on Dazen? Yeah, we got
it. Lives on Dazen. Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. Brooks, almost, eh?
Yeah, man. Choked like Benfica. Fuck. We kept good it, if you will. But just I want to say one thing about these guys.
Cardozo.
The Trincão and Polt combination was killing it this game. Polt had an amazing game. And I think this is what Sporting Issues were hoping for all year. Just so happened that happened once against Casapia. But... like Trincão with a hat trick. I mean, he's a guy who used to be on Wolves. He kind of failed.
Dude, I've had him on my fantasy team the whole year. I take him off, and he fucking scores 3 goals in this also, game.
He's exciting.
Tell me your Portuguese. Talk about a player's history. He said, this is a guy who used to be on Wolves.
He was on Wolves.
This is a guy who used to play for Barcelona.
Yeah, right.
And you went to the deck. This guy used to play for Wolves.
Wolves.
Everyone used to play for Wolves.
Yeah.
When I was on Sportsnet, every time I had a highlight pack, a Wolverhampton highlight pack, I called them Wolves. And I worked with a guy, Jesse Rubinoff, who was like, he was just starting to do the shifts. And he's not really a soccer guy, but he loved my passion for it. And he's like, Wolves. I'm like, yeah, man, because like they're full of Portuguese guys. And so I wasn't working a couple of shifts, and he was calling them Wolves. And fine. And I think I'd heard it, or someone's like, hey, he's stealing your Wolves. I'm like, no, that's cool. And at some point he'd said it, and he goes, hey, is that not like a common thing? I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, I said Wolves. And Danny Black, who's married to a Portuguese girl, says, oh, that's Dunlop's thing because they're Portuguese. And he goes, that's not an English thing?
No. The Wolves.
Does it sound English? He's like, no, but I mean, I didn't realize it was like your own thing, man. He's like, so I'm the guy, the non-Portuguese guy, catering to what? 7 people watching? I'm like, probably 8 now. Yeah, you've at least pulled someone else in. Love Wolves. They got to bring back a maroon kit. I think this is why it's all derailed, so right?
Yeah.
Espírito Santo left. You know, there's
similar with Portugal. They went Spanish with the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not great for all the Portuguese guys. You know.
Yeah, it is still a weird appointment.
Not totally hating it,
but Trincão used to like Brendan was saying. Trincão used to play out with Messi on Barcelona.
Yeah,
didn't last very long. Didn't go so well. But you know, now he's trying to regain his career, and this hat trick will definitely help him. I mean, I don't think he's pleased Sporting fans the most this year. They have him and Marcus Edwards, who are kind of these like two I guess you want to say like underachieving wingers.
Edwards having a great year. What are you talking about? He's doing way better than Trincão.
I think he frustrates Sporting fans sometimes. His finishing's not all there, and the last pass could be better.
I mean, overall,
they're in fourth place. Yeah. How amazing are they doing? They're in fourth place, right?
That's true.
Yeah. None of us can speak for Sporting fans.
That's true. You know what? It's best to just move on.
Move on. All right.
I prefer not to speak.
One quick line on Casapia.
Go for it.
Do you think they thought when they chose their name 100 years ago that they would ever be in the top flight?
No.
Like, you got to dream big.
Imagine if, like, they could never win.
They're like an orphanage, man.
How could the league promote the champions of our league, Casapia? It just sounds small, right?
Yeah.
It's like I said, like
this little house, yeah.
Bad Bunny, yeah. Right? One of the biggest artists in the world. Do you think he thought he'd be famous when he chose the name Bad Bunny?
Maybe. He looks like a pretty confident guy. I don't know. I think he did.
Well, Casapia had a confident start to the season, but you know
they did, yeah.
Yeah, they're still up there. They're in 8th place, man. Top definitely 10. Overachieving.
That's used to be 5th.
Yeah. This was our thing we came up with, as like in the Portuguese league, maybe similar in all leagues, but it's like the first season up, like that doesn't break your spirits. It's like 3 years in, that's when it's like you can't keep up anymore.
It's just so tiring.
It's the second season is always hard for mm-hmm. the team that gets promoted, right?
Yeah,
so in every league, that's not unique.
Because yeah, like Santa Clara, their time has run out for sure.
Yeah, and this their second season.
No, they've been up for three or four years now. They almost made it to a conference league a couple years ago, but they sold all their talent right before they had to qualify.
I thought they went down and came back again in that 4 year.
Yeah,
run.
No, they've been up.
The
but...
pandemic has ruined a lot for me, and time is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What season was this? What season?
The
was
pandemic,
that?
This World Cup in the middle of the season.
Yeah, also screwed up time, man.
Yeah.
So
it's been a weird year.
So feel very blessed that my wife and I purposely timed this birth not to have like happened during the World Cup. As like, I can't go to Qatar and you'd be like 8.5 months pregnant. I can't go. So luckily it worked out, but it made the 9 months evaporate because the World Cup, like, yes, it was only an actual month, but there was a lot of mental strain pre and post that like went that boom. It took a huge chunk. The holidays, yep. Next thing I know, he's a month old.
Yeah.
Flies by.
Crazy.
I make it difficult for you to have like easy transition.
Flow, yeah.
I'm not a dad. I don't know what the hell these guys are. How am I supposed to transition to that? Man, I'm trying to go clubbing at Dog and Bear this weekend. I don't have any dad references. Who brought this Zavolo on over here? Jeez. He starts talking about plumbing, I'm screwed.
To the table.
The daddies of Portugal.
Yep, daddies of Portugal. Benfica still in the lead, 71 points. Porto behind them with 64. Braga in third. Sporting in fourth. Arouca still in fifth place.
I'll just say this about the table, especially the top of the table where we live. That, you know, it's down to 7 points, but you'd still rather be where we are than where Porto is. Yes, we still have two very big games. And this will bring us, I think we're going to do England next. Very much reminds me kind of Arsenal's position where we still have a lead, but we still got to face the big dog. So we still have to face Braga. We still have to face Sporting.
And Braga's a loss.
Don't say Braga's a loss. But
okay, we have to play Sporting and Braga. The rest of those teams we're playing are all bottom half of the table.
Yeah.
Next week you're playing Shav. Steven Vittori is going to shut you down.
Who knows what can happen. We've seen it before, but I don't think this is a choke job year just because of who we got in charge. We got Schmidt, the personnel. I think this is a title year.
All right, England. Son becomes the first Asian player to score 100 goals in the Premier League. Spurs win 2-1 over Brighton. A flurry of disallowed opportunities for the Seagulls.
Contender for Stonk of the Week.
Son? Yeah.
Son. That Son goal was amazing. Very nice. But he does it like every other week. Like that's like a regular goal for him.
It reminds me almost like of like Kobe or something in basketball. Where they say like, I got to get to my spot. And like that's Son's spot. If he gets it there with a little space, curls it in. That's money.
He's a special player, man. He's such a good player.
Yeah, he's very different from most players in the Premier League. He's very reminiscent of like the way Ronaldo plays. That's why people call him Sonaldo. But like, yeah, he takes the ball and he does something special every time.
I feel so sad he's been on Tottenham for so long. He could be on like such a better team.
Him on Real Madrid would just be
around anywhere.
Yeah.
And then through a bunch of the points, like they want Son to like track back on defense and like be the right midfielder of like now he's got to like, you know, help out the left back. It's like, dude, no, he should be doing what Kane's doing. Just stay up and he'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny though, right? People always say that about Kane. How it's like, oh, what a special player. Like he deserves to win trophies. But no one says that about Son. And when Kane was out, like him and Son was the reason that Spurs were still a top four contending team, which they, you know, won't be this season. And Antonio Conte was always a weird appointment.
Yeah.
I always felt like that was a, oh, we can get him and keep him away from United type of appointment. Because I do think that United regret not pulling the trigger and getting rid of Ollie when they could have. And they could have had Conte.
Nobody goes into that job and then like halfway through is like, I'm glad I'm here at Spurs. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're kind of always
this is a great move for you.
The weirdest appointment was when they brought in Espiritu Santo and you're like, what are you even doing there? Yeah. Like, why did you even bother?
No, I thought that was like a normal trajectory for him. And I'm disappointed it didn't work. Yeah.
He won manager of the month like the first or second month, which was bizarre.
Right. They knocked off someone
11
big.
Games though.
Yeah,
he only got 11 games, and then he went to Saudi or Qatar.
Yes,
yeah, he's in Qatar.
It's unfortunate because he's someone who like deserved the next job, like Graham Potter did. A lot of people thought Graham Potter like was qualified for the Manchester United job from a tactical standpoint as a coach. Like, this is what they are missing. This is what they need. And here's a guy who deserves an opportunity to see if he can do it at the big club. And then he got it in the weirdest of circumstances because Todd Boehly's a psychopath. And he gets rid of Thomas Tuchel.
That was ridiculous.
Because he didn't agree with him. And then he gives him, like, all this money and all of these players that Todd Boehly was buying that Graham Potter wasn't buying. And I don't think Graham Potter's never had a £50 million player in his life. Now he's got 11 of them, and they all shut up in the middle of the season.
Like, yeah. How are you supposed to plan for that?
One funny thing we probably should mention is the kind of like mini brawl at the end of this game.
Yeah.
Between the Spurs and
the Italian coaches going at it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the drama ended. I was worried when Tuchel and Conte left. No. It's still just get two Italian guys.
Whoever, yeah.
De Zerbi's amazing, though. There's a guy who'll be at a bigger job.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been doing well, amazing. Man.
Yeah.
But I like the very Italian, like, why me? What did I do?
There's so much hand stuff going on.
Wolves run the show at the Molyneux as none other than Mateusz Nunes cracks a volley from the side of the box, breaks a deadlock, 1-0 win. Lampard's first game back. Chelsea still do not have it.
What the hell, man?
Dude.
How is Frank Lampard back?
I mean, who else are you going to bring?
Anybody else.
Chelsea have scored fewer goals than Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
All season.
And half a billion dollar team.
Sad to say, João Félix is kind of part of that. Like, he's not. He looks great out there. He's gliding. He's playing all the right positions. And then he just doesn't finish. Like, Atletico Madrid, he was scoring somewhat regularly. I don't know if it's this team or this curse, but I'm happy they bought Enzo off us. They stole him off us, actually. And I wish them nothing but misery ever since. So
stole from for 115 million.
Yeah, man. It was worth two.
The two biggest banks in Portugal are the football clubs.
Yeah. Like, the Benfica Bank. Yeah.
Banco Espírito Santo? No. Bank El Sa Benfica.
That's right.
It's the best bank. It will last way longer than any financial institution.
Your money's always good there. But
yeah.
I mean, what they left us with and what we have to face Inter with, hey, not that I'm complaining, we're going to beat Inter, but I'm saying Enzo, they took his eyes, like, they had the golden ring and they were like kind of like drew him away from us, you know?
Okay, Lord of the Rings.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Hey, man, he wanted to leave. Rui Costa said he was trying to keep him for the
rest of the game. Yeah, then get the fuck out.
He had a weird attitude.
Yeah.
So I've wished them the worst ever since,
it's like that World Cup got to his head or something.
It must have been.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
That Nunes goal was, dude, I mean, that stonk of the week for me.
Yeah, he blasted that. That was beautiful.
From the side.
The side netting, the sharp angle.
Yeah. Nice to see him finally announce himself at Molyneux, too. That was huge for him.
Yeah. He has the talent. I mean, when he left Sporting, everyone was saying, like, this guy, he's going to have a good year. And he started out well and then kind of drifted off.
The style of player that he is, I think he should be a staple for Portugal.
Got pretty much no minutes on Portugal, yeah.
Yeah. Sad that we didn't see more of him, but I think he's a player for the future for sure.
He's got a battle with Paulinho. He's got the same play style as Paulinho, right?
Kind of. He's a bit more offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he adds.
But he's gritty. He's gritty.
Yeah. Fights for it. Tati Gomes settling in the back line finally. I think it's the second week that he started there. And then Daniel Podence kind of becoming that left wing back.
Okay, so going a little more defensive. Yeah.
Brandon, what do you think of Podence?
Are you really torn on him? I think he's all right player.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
Yeah. I've been a fan. It's kind of hard to kind of stay in that team, I think, unless you're one of the three guys at the top of the team sheet. But yeah, no, I think he's a good player, deserving of national team caps, and hopefully get some more.
He's a mediocre player that we talk about a lot on this podcast.
I like how he's shorter than me.
He's
a short kid.
Really?
Or he's like the same height, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he's a short man. Yeah.
But you're on the higher end of average in Portugal. You should spend more time there.
Really?
Yeah.
You kill it there,
bro. No, our Zorian, you go to weddings and stuff like, oh, so big. And you go,
so tall,
you
go to
your, yeah, you go to your high so school grand. With like mungy cakes and you're like, I'm not tall. What are they talking about?
Am I looking up at my friends?
Over here, you're a short king. Over there, you're a regular king.
Yeah.
Just regular. Yeah. Taller end of average. Anyone ever given you that compliment? That's a reasonable compliment to throw around.
I'm going to go off that for the rest of the summer.
Bertrand Traore scores the winner for Villa against Forest. Unai Emery's takeover of the Birmingham club continues to prove fruitful. Brandon, you're a Villa fan?
I am, man. This is my club. Yeah, it's pretty special.
How are you liking Unai Emery over there?
It's even better than I thought. We're going to win the fucking Conference League next year, man. We're going to win it. As soon as he got appointed, I think my tweet was, this is going to be amazing to win the Europa League in 2 years.
Yeah.
And, man, there's just something about the way he motivates the group. And he's really proven what a lot of Villa fans thought, but I think not Villa fans were in denial of, is that Steven Gerrard was not a tactical genius.
Not the guy.
He's not a Premier League manager yet. He may be one day, but I think Liverpool supporters are pretty happy that they've stuck with Klopp and didn't, you know, get caught up early in the season. Be like, time to let Klopp go. Should we give the keys to Stevie G?
Mm-mm.
Villa can tell, you know, perfect proof that that was not the right move, and he was not ready for that. But man, Unai's been amazing. And like Bertrand Traore was on loan in Turkey. He was playing at Başakşehir here.
Yeah.
And he's brought him back, and he's like shown that him that he has confidence in him. Well,
like Chelsea picked him up along ages ago, and they just kept loaning him and loaning and loaning him, never really gave him a chance.
He's a good player, but I mean, even at Villa, he wasn't good enough to like, kind of like stay in the team. And he was under Steven Gerrard, there wasn't a Villa fan you'll find that'd be like, oh, we should have kept him. They'd hoped he would have been done better, but he didn't do enough to stay there. Unai's like, no, I want everyone available at my disposal. And this guy's got some pieces, some talent, some weapons in the arsenal. Let me see it. And good evening. In the top six.
Yeah.
Boom.
We must ask, how does a Portuguese boy from Windsor become a Villa fan?
Yeah, okay. So I mentioned the Premier League being only one game a week, 10 a.m. So my dad's thing was he'd make pancakes and we'd watch the Prem. My dad lived in England for quite a few years in the 70s. He went to race car driver school. But he never had he didn't have a club, but he loved football. That was my introduction to football. It wasn't the Portuguese side. And so I was like waiting for, you know, a team, a reason to like someone. And they profiled before Aston Villa Southampton, this guy who just transferred from Manchester United, Dion Dublin. He scored 2 goals on his debut. And this game against Southampton, he goes out and scores a hat trick. I'm like, that's my guy. That's my team. So, yeah, 25 years.
That's how that Aston happens. Villa. Yes.
That's it, man. Nice. I saw them get thrashed by Arsenal. I was at Wembley in the FA Cup final in 2015.
They
lost 4-0. Jack Grealish was there. Christian Benteke was still on that team. And Tim Sherwood was the manager at the time. I'm pretty sure it was Tim Sherwood. So it's nice to see they've come a long way.
Nice. Yeah. And what hurts more? Was it Gareth Barry or Jack Grealish?
Leaving?
Yeah.
Gareth Barry hurt at the time, but I think it's a similar situation, right? Because they both deserved a bigger jump, and I think you just kind of knew, like, look, Villa's a big club, but they're not finishing top four. They're not winning the Champions League. If you got a chance to win the title, you know, you want the best for your favorite players. And, well, I think anyway, some people will. So I understand why Grealish left.
Grealish,
it did make me feel good that he kind of struggled last season, though.
Yeah. Grealish is more of like a flair, exciting player. Barry was kind of like more like a stable player. So I don't know. I feel like he would help more at Villa than he did at City. I mean, obviously he's moving for the paycheck, but like he didn't really end up being like a huge success at City, whereas like Grealish still has a chance.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Grealish is a key piece to Pep's whole machine, right? And that's the thing, is that he's got 18 pieces, elite pieces of a machine that everyone else can envy. I'm glad that Grealish is able to play half of his game, I would say, that we saw at Villa, because he was a pretty special player for Villa. Yeah.
Who's a Portuguese guy you would like to see at Villa?
Ooh, that's a great question. I actually have not thought of this for a while. You know actually who I wanted before? Rafael Guerreiro.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, they had a real fullback problem before, but now they got Moreno, who's really good. They went out and signed Luka Dean last year, who's now been kept out of the squad. Matty Cash is great. Matt Target was there for a while. So I stopped thinking about that. But before that, forget who they'd had. Ahmed El Mohamedy, maybe. Someone like that. And I thought, man, it'd be nice if there was a Portuguese guy. But I haven't really thought of anyone since then.
I would have liked to see Jean Felix at Villa instead of Chelsea.
That was the rumor.
There was a rumor.
That was the rumor, and I mean, yes, I would have loved that. I also really wanted Luis Suarez to go.
When he was
Gerrard leaving. And Coutinho all coming back.
I really did think, and we saw flashes of it under Gerrard. I really did think Coutinho was going to be outstanding, and recapture it, because he was so good for Liverpool.
I love Coutinho.
He was so good for Liverpool, and then he gets that big move, and like Barcelona, man, is just a wasteland.
It's toxic. Yeah.
Some people don't make it out of there.
No, and I worry for the younger guys who have just recently gone there. I tweeted today about Ferran Torres, like Ferran Torres and Ansu Fati. Anywhere else, you'd see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They'd play all the time because they're outstanding players. But something there that it's like it just ruins guys, and there's like a laundry list of guys that this has happened to.
We're Portuguese, man. We've seen it all.
Yeah,
we got
so many. Portuguese, yeah. Andre
Very
Gomes,
few success stories.
Trincao, yeah.
I think the only one who succeeded there was Figo, and he was top.
Yeah, and he betrayed
the best player in the world.
Yeah, and then he betrayed them. That was that was 30 years ago, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nelson Semedo got eaten alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andre Gomes, Trincao. Yeah. Those are the three recent.
Simão didn't make it.
Quaresma.
Yeah.
I think. That's such a good question, though. Is there a Portuguese player? I'd love if Ronaldo came back to a real league. He can play for Villa. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
That would be probably the most surreal of all signings. I woke up to Unai Emery has convinced Cristiano Ronaldo to sign for Aston Villa in the summer.
No, what if Ronaldo went to TFC?
Well, actually, I tweeted this as well. When Bernadeschi showed up, I think when he joined the team, they were on the road. And the first time that he'd come to BMO, the stall was empty in between him and Insigne, or him and whoever it was. It was an empty stall. And there was like some photo of just Berna meeting the team, some video. And I had tweeted, I'm like, that's an empty stall in the middle of between those two. Bill Manning is a guy who likes to shoot a shot. If you believe that history repeats itself, well, in Toronto, the Italians came first. And then the Portuguese.
Exactly, yeah.
So I just feel like Bill Manning owes it to the community to go out and get Cristiano Ronaldo. So, yeah.
I just want one Portuguese player. I don't care who it is.
Yeah. How about a 48-year-old Paleta?
I would love it.
Oh, my God. Bring him back.
how he never played for the New England Revolution. Like, that, what a missed opportunity.
I know, yeah.
Oh, the Azorian community would have went off. But, yeah, I don't think Ronaldo could take Ollie Watkins' job right now.
Yeah,
look like
maybe not. Ollie Watkins is playing a lot better. I always liked Danny Ings, but I just thought they would never be able to play together. Like 4-4-2 just wouldn't work. And they've let Danny Ings go, and I think that's taking a lot of pressure off of Watkins. And now he's playing to the level he played when he had Grealish, which was a big downgrade losing him. I think people wrote Watkins off, but like you lost one of the best kind of creators and providers in the league, who. Part of the reason Grealish has struggled at City is because he doesn't have to be the guy. So he's had to find a way to fit into that team.
Yeah. Right?
What can he bring to that team?
I think he's finding it now.
He's finding it now. Because he's got it. He's got all the
tools. He's spectacular, man. I love watching him at Villa, and it's like he's finally getting back to it with City. And with City, he scored this week. Kevin De Bruyne gets his 100th Premier League assist, while Haaland nets his 30th Premier League goal of the season. They trounce last place Southampton 4-1. And yeah, I mean, we talked about Haaland earlier, 30 goals. Amazing.
He's insane, man.
At the beginning of the season, I said he is the Terminator joining up with the Avengers.
Yeah.
And unbeatable. But one of the Avengers, I guess, I don't know, what would Bernardo be on the Avengers? They took him out. He's pretty much out of the scene.
He's like Hawkeye.
Yeah, like they pretty much devoted him to Hawkeye, I guess. And I'm not vibing with that. I really like seeing Bernardo. I like watching Bernardo, and they're just not using him. It seems that way down to crunch time, they kind of move away from him.
Mm-hmm. But he is supposed to move in the summer.
Yeah, right? he wanted to leave. Yeah.
He really wanted to go to Barca.
So this is the cool thing about like working in the media. There's always like someone that tells you they've got an in. And they think like the farther away you are from the circle, the safer it is to like tell you. So I got a text message like, hey, my brother who lives in Manchester... His sister's brother is a mover, and he just moved Bernardo Silva out of his house. Oh, Bernardo Silva's moving. So, man, you just might want to get that story ready.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I swear, I did write 200 words just in case it happened in the next 2 days. I had 200 words, like, locked and loaded for Canadian Soccer Daily, ready to say, as per legit sources.
A mover.
He's moved out.
You would never say that.
Heard it from a local mover.
He's moved out. Yeah. That's the fun part of the game, to peel the curtain behind. Yeah. How many sources are there? There's a lot of sources. But that would start, right? That's how it is.
Like,
then you start asking people. Then you start bugging journalists. First, have you heard anything? Then you start bugging people. Then you start calling the movers. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I remember there was a story like Ronaldo moved all his cars to Lisbon.
Yeah. I remember that.
I heard that one too.
Yeah. Like something's going on. He moved all his cars.
And also because the private jets are like public. Like you can just get air flight things. So that's a big one. They follow. Oh, this guy's flying from fucking Uruguay.
Yeah, you can follow where they're flying.
Montevideo to
Why is he going there? Yeah.
My Vol also moved all his cars to Lisbon, but that was just because he got a cheaper storage fee. Yeah. it's like he got this, you know, the ship on this date, and this was the seat sale. This was the flight sale. Boom. Put on the ship. It's cheap. But you don't need to. You're not going for 18 months. That's okay. It's going to sit over there. All right.
Thriller at Anfield as Liverpool come back from a 2-0 deficit to tie league-leading Arsenal 2-2. Salah misses a penalty to go even. Firmino comes to the rescue to save a point. Goals by Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus, Salah, and Firmino.
A lot of Brazilian action in this game.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Martinelli has scored more goals, league goals, than any Brazilian in the top five leagues.
Really?
So, like, if I just told you, Neymar and Vinicius, you're like, well, okay, maybe not elite seasons, but like they're good seasons. Martinelli's been better, and he's not even been in every week.
Wow. So he has more goals than Carlos Vinicius on Fulham. That's crazy.
I always found him a weird inclusion with Brazil at the World Cup ahead of Firmino, just in terms of like having a seasoned vet there and bringing this young kid who's, you know, having a great season, but like, how do you bring him over Firmino?
X factor, though.
When they have
kills,
so many,
man.
They have so many wingers already.
Speed.
But I also think like Firmino's part of that old guard too, right? The old guard at Liverpool and for Brazil, and it's unfortunate because it's kind of he's not an old guy, but it's kind of just it just passed him. Like the game changes so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Portugal, how quick the game changes. Jota was the next guy. The next guy gets injured, and now Leao is the guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jota be lucky to get in.
Yeah.
The Speaking same thing kind of happened for Firmino.
Jota played a pretty good game.
Yeah.
He created chances. He earned a penalty that Salah actually missed. He set up, I guess, what'd you say? Sorry, let me.
No,
you're the Liverpool man.
Go ahead. Dude, you're killing it.
Just
you're
because he's
it.
Wearing the Jota jersey doesn't mean. He didn't get the Jota exclusive. This
I think I've talked enough. I think I've spoken enough.
He doesn't have the notepad out. You got free reign.
You got the computer and the notes.
So Jota did have a good game, Chris.
He got the hockey assist on the first goal.
I was just going to say, I was going to make this point that, you know, there's two big games this weekend, Porto-Benfica, Liverpool-Arsenal. And, you know, you watch the Premier League one and you're like, okay, this is why it's the most popular league. This is why it's the best league.
Yeah.
It was just end-to-end, back and forth. No one's playing defense. I feel like Porto-Benfica, both teams at some point were trying not to lose or not to get scored on. Meanwhile, in Arsenal, Liverpool, both teams are just trying to score.
Liverpool,
we have to go for it. Yeah,
yeah.
I think Liverpool got robbed. I think they should have won that game.
They should have won.
Yeah,
they were. Arsenal was up 2-0. You can't say they should have won. Arsenal was up 2-0.
No, but by the end of the game, they had the penalty chance. They had that last.
It was all
minute.
Liverpool second half.
It was all Liverpool, and it's from the second that they got the equalizer. Like Ramsdale had to make at least one.
He made two great saves.
He had quite a few, and he's had to since he's turned up there.
Yeah.
I think Ramsdale is one of the best shot stoppers in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
I do
yeah.
think that Emi Martinez is the best, though.
Oh.
I am biased, but looking at him at the World Cup, man, and like. He's such a likable guy, and I think if he was what he is, though.
He's got a beautiful smile.
Emmy or Ramsdale?
Emmy.
Emmy? Oh.
He's a nice guy.
Likeable.
Well, people didn't like when he put the trophy on his crotch or what?
No, that was hilarious. When he used it as like a dick shooting out thing, that was funny.
It was a hand.
Dick shooting out thing. I like that.
You know what it was.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. To me, it's the best photo from the World Cup celebration. It's better than
Messi
in the boxing
the
robe.
Yeah.
It was way better than that.
Yeah,
he gloated a little bit much, but he's cool.
He won the World Cup, man. He's a guy that he's basically like the goalkeeper version of Michael Jordan. Okay, Arsenal were the high school team that gave up on him. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna make it, and then he becomes a number one goalkeeper in the Premier League, and number one for a country that has a chance to win the World Cup, and then he fucking goes and wins the World Cup with Messi.
And that save right at the end where he robbed
Frenchman. Mwani. Oof. That kid's talent. He's gonna be a big product in the summer.
That game was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was one of the best games ever. Yeah,
ever. One of the best championship games in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like this. Like both teams were trying to win. Both teams were going at it. Same similar scoreline, 2-2.
Yeah,
2-2 is a good soccer
no
game.
No shootout.
But I mean, Patrick's Arsenal. So how'd you feel?
They shouldn't have let this lead go. I don't know why they couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
Well, fucking Liverpool, man. They can't beat Liverpool, yeah.
How many other Portuguese Patricks have you met in your life?
None.
None.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
But does, like, Aval calls you Patricio?
No. I've gotten Patricio before, but she says Patrick.
Patrick, yeah. That's better than Brenda, which is me. Yeah. So, yeah. Patrick is okay.
All right. Roy Hodgson, once again, the example of sunshine and youth inspires Crystal Palace to a 5-1 win over Leeds. Ooh, yeah.
For him.
Still at it. Other news. Burnley promoted to the Premier League for next season. Good. Vincent Kompany.
Good for them, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, I love it. Everything's got better. Even look at the logo they're using. Look at the design on his hat.
Oh, that's for next season?
Yeah. Well, no, that's, I don't think it's for next season.
It's an alternate.
But just, like, alternate? Yeah, it's just an alternate. But like, could you see like Sean Dyche wearing that?
No. Yeah, man.
The company's, he's got his own special thing going there. A lot of people doubted it, man. A lot of people thought it was,
yeah,
it was
really
big
cool.
A job for him.
It was really cool when they played City in, what was it, the FA Cup a couple weeks ago? So. Just see him and Pep Guardiola step up. Like,
cool, I like seeing this next generation of managers. And it's funny because, like, to me, Pep Guardiola is not old, but he's very much like a vet. But if you remember what it was when he was coming up with Messi and Barcelona, the end of the 2000s, like what that was like, to see him become the elite and all of these disciples of him, Arteta, Kompany,
there'll be a few others.
It's cool to see the game growing.
We always have that conversation about Mourinho too, where it's like, you know, obviously the players, how they grow up are changing, and it's like they're, you know, how to deal with them is different. And is like, is Mourinho style getting, you know, outdated of like kind of the hard like manager, but
the hard man, yeah.
He's tough on the young
kids.
You
got to adapt, and then there's that bridge manager who's like, he's played with those young kids. He knows how to talk to them or deal with them because he was the captain of them, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I think a captain center back usually always makes a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
They got the chops. I was just going to add this about Liverpool, about, and bring it back to the Portuguese connection. See, Liverpool, a guy on Liverpool like Fabio Carvalho, I feel like was really sort of wasted there on Liverpool this year. He hasn't played at all.
No.
Nothing.
Only a couple starts.
I think on Fulham, they loaned him back.
Stayed
to
another
Fulham,
year.
He stayed another year. He could have helped that Fulham team reach so better levels. Yeah.
Yeah. Buy and loan back. Yeah. France got nothing exciting. Italy.
Oh, wait. I wanted to say something about France.
France.
Apparently, Renato Sanches played 10 minutes. He's been back in the lineup. The coach loves him. So it wasn't that bad of a move, but he just gets hurt again. Very unfortunate.
Yeah,
one
hurt
of my
again?
Favorite players. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I tried looking up how long and how bad, but couldn't find anything.
Didn't get in touch with a doctor.
No injury report.
He'll always have Euro 2016, man.
Yeah. Yep. In Italy, Inter ties Salernitana 1-1. As I said before, they're yet to record a win since March 5th. Napoli hold on strong with 2-1 win over Lecce, a 16-point lead over second place Lazio, who beat Juve 2-1.
Napoli is the most underrated story in Europe, man.
Dude, they're crazy, man.
How do you lose Lorenzo Insigne and Dries Mertens, and you've got Luciano Spalletti as your manager, and you go and you boss Serie A? 16 points.
Osimhen and Kreva, like, every week I'm just like, oh, okay, these two scored again. They scored again. Osimhen hat-trick. Osimhen 2 goals.
Yeah.
Just, like, so stable. It's crazy.
Cavaradona, man.
Yeah.
It was just created because it was easier to say his name, but it is appropriate.
I know we're going long, but I just, since we're already on
Are
Insigne.
We? I feel like we just started.
But since we are on Insigne, Evan's got this theory that, you know, there's, for TFC, there's Defoes and then there's Giovinco's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who's going to stay and who wants to be here? And I don't know. We don't know which one Insigne is yet. And I'm sure watching Napoli win the title is not helping him want to be here.
He just proved it. He dyed his hair red, Justin.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, you got the inside scoop.
I seen this, yeah.
He's got the IG scoop.
Yeah, it was on IG.
Yeah.
Bernardeschi is Giovinco. And I do think Insigne is going to be Defoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad to hear.
Yeah. No, that's what it seems like. Just all the hype. I don't know. It's hard to live up to that ever.
So much hype. And he's a guy that, like, he got injured a lot before he turned up. When they signed him, he was injured. Uh-huh. He put pen to paper in January because he was injured and out of Napoli's lineup. And it's just, it's unfortunate that we've not got to see him play to his level. And I hope that we will. It's still a long year.
He's coming back Saturday. You got the inside scoop?
He's supposed to be back on Saturday. He's been training. He's supposed to be back on Saturday. Yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah. In Italy, Beto scores a 90th minute penalty to help Udinese tie Monza 2-2. Nothing crazy in Germany. Rafael Guerrero got an assist. De Ligt with a huge goal for Bayern to help them beat Freiburg.
You're going
to
underplay that goal, eh?
Contender for Stonk of the Week.
Yeah, I was up there. Stonk, man. Fucking blast.
Look at that goal. If you guys are Stonk fans, look up that goal.
La Liga, there's an El Clasico midweek. Real Madrid spanked Barca 4-0. Benzema with a hat trick. And then on the weekend, Celta Vigo ties Sevilla 2-2 in the dying embers. Goal coming from the most patient striker, Gonzalo Paciencia. Celta coached by former Braga man Carlos Carvajal.
Very nice for them.
Yeah. Nice to see Paciencia back on the board.
What about Kyle Aaron at Real Valladolid? You've been paying attention?
Oh, yeah. He's been scoring, man.
Been amazing there. But, yeah, on the wrong end of being in the six-yard box when the ball bounced up and hit him in the hand. And Real Mallorca went to the spot and scored in stoppage time and drew. But I think Valladolid will stay up. It's pretty cool to see like how he's performed after being
discarded
and frozen out at Bruges, where I thought, honestly, I thought he would thrive there.
Oh, it's so exciting to see him.
The chance.
See him
with Tejan.
Yeah, with Tejan. I was so excited. I thought something was going to happen. Just didn't go. Local ads, TFC draw 0-0 with Nashville. They reunite with Jacob Schaffelberg there. A lot of that on the media. But yeah, another draw for TFC.
Pretty boring game.
Won't get those 90 minutes of your life back.
Yeah.
And I paid for Apple TV for that.
Are you watching anything else on Apple? You're really maxing out? What's the one with like the therapist and
Shrinking?
I just subscribed to the MLS thing.
Oh, just
I don't have
the MLS.
I don't have the TV shows.
You're just all Bradley Wright Phillips and Kaelin Kyle. You're not getting any of this. You're not getting Sudeikis and
I like watching Kaelin Kyle though.
Apple TV, their shows are solid. I'll back that. I watched a couple of those. They got some good content.
I've been a big Ted Lasso guy from the beginning.
Yeah.
I like that show, yeah.
I keep watching it, but I'm like, I don't think it's that good of a show.
What?
It's like it's soccer, so I'm interested because it's Premier League.
It's a workplace.
I love comedy. I love Jason Sudeikis, but every episode I'm just like, I like it less and less, but I'm...
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why. It's just a little too cheesy.
It's a Portuguese thing. You can't stay happy for a consistent amount of time.
No.
Three seasons is too long for you.
Yeah. York United season starts next Saturday. That is very exciting. I'm stoked for that.
Is it Sunday?
Yeah, it is Sunday. Yep.
The season starts on Saturday, but York starts on Sunday.
Right, my bad. I meant York. York starts on Sunday.
Support local football.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Jota and Alistair Johnson hold it down in Scotland. Portuguese scores the winner against the Rangers in the Old Firm derby. 3-2 game would also nab the assist. Alistair Johnson gets man of the match. Kyogo Furuhashi with the other two goals for the green and white there.
Love seeing Jota succeed.
Yes.
I love seeing Alistair Johnston succeed.
Yeah. Dude,
it's pretty special that they're friends.
They did the interview together.
Yeah.
You see the post game?
Yeah. Gave him the man of the match.
Very nice.
I think it's because the PR person knew like Jota's going to speak in like one sentence answers and Johnston speaks like a manager, which for a media person is a dream.
Right.
Yeah. You just say one thing and he goes off.
Love it. And just be like, Alistair. The microphone. It's like, yeah, well, you know, the game. We just really dug in. The fans behind us. 60,000 people at home are happy.
Yeah.
Great. Soundbite dream.
Yeah. Fabio Silva scores for PSV. He's still at it. They demolish Excelsior 4-0. And then earlier in the week, Ronaldo bags a brace in the Saudi League for Al Nassr, and they win 5-0 over Al Adda.
It's just a little different, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's just something about these Saudi match week highlights that just don't do it for me.
They're on Sport TV 6, man.
Oh, like, yeah. Out of the ads.
Is that the Ocho of Sport TV?
Yeah. That's right. They created a new channel, I think, for this.
Yeah. Coming up at 6 o'clock, it's the Saudi League. Afterwards, the Monkeys flying plane.
Stonk of the Week. Mateusz Nunes for me, man.
Yeah, I like Nunes.
Let's give it to the Portuguese guy, Mateusz Nunes.
Yep.
You got a vote there? What do you think?
Have you ever given it to a not Portuguese
guy? Oh,
yeah. That one's really best.
To be fair, the shot of the week. What was the Rangers goal? The free kick in the Rangers game. That was pretty spectacular.
Oh, Tavernier's free kick was great. We love a bar down.
Holland's was pretty special, I think.
The bicycle kick?
It's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
De Ligt?
Not quite outside of the box. Not...
Not quite a stonk. Not quite a blast, you know?
It's got to be a blast.
Need that fire.
Midweek, not the weekend, but midweek, Bertrand Traore's goal for Villa was pretty special. So I'll go with that.
All right. That's Brendan's vote. You're outvoted.
And then João Wonder for the week. Who is our Portuguese player of the week?
Damn. I mean, recency bias because I just heard it, but Jota, you're probably going to want to give it to someone on Porto, Otavio or something like that.
Dude, don't give him any idea.
I'm going to say Trincão.
I was going to say Trincão.
Yeah.
Oh, scored a hat trick.
That's a great one.
Beat Casapia.
Great. Hey. Brendan,
vote.
I want to see Ronaldo again.
I'll just give it
to Ronaldo.
Get on the record.
You know, he's a guy that needs more reasonable compliments, and then maybe he would come back and be around.
He needs more awards.
Yeah.
And you know, we tell him every time he's won João Wonder, which is like the best.
We try to send him the trophy, but he doesn't come to accept it.
Yeah. Keep trying. Yep. Don't quit. You never know.
Yeah.
Imagine. If he rolls up in a Toby Cox.
I mean, we got you to show up here, so hey, Ronaldo's one more step.
It's quite a big step. It's quite a big step.
All right, thanks once again for listening. Hit us up on the socials at Portugal_Corner on Twitter, at the Portugal Corner on Insta. You can email us at theportugalcorner@gmail.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Take a minute to leave a rating or review. Brendan, you want to plug anything?
Canadian Soccer Daily. That's my baby now. We're pumping out a bunch of Canadian soccer content. We're trying to cover the world's game through a Canadian lens, which is not an easy task, as you all know. All of us have other interests in other corners of the world, and it's a 24/7 nonstop news cycle. But I'm really happy with what we've done, man. It's been pretty cool. We got a small and very mighty team, and we just started the night before Canada played Belgium at the World Cup. We've done 750 stories already in just a few months. And Waking the Red, which is a staple for Toronto FC fans for a long time, had just joined our network. So really happy about that we can now expand and be a bit more regionalized, at least in terms of TFC and the Canadian men's national team. But yeah, things are pretty good. So Canadian Soccer Daily. We're Can Soccer Daily on Twitter and on Instagram. And there will be a podcast sooner rather than later, boys. So we'll have to there'll be a Portuguese crossover before you know it.
Looking forward to it. Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming, man. Really appreciate it. Had a blast talking to you.
Thank you.
Anytime. We can get into Euro 2016 stories. I never told the story about how David Luiz tried to bang my ex-girlfriend.
Let's do it now.
You know this story?
No.
This is the old footy show story. They were here. So my girlfriend at the time, Benfica was here to play Panathinaikos. And it's some Friday night. This is May. So this is the end of the regular season, not a preseason friendly. This is the end of the regular season. So these players have less interest to go out there on the field and be good. And she says she's going clubbing with her friends on a Friday night, whatever, early 20s. I'm doing my own thing. And then she messaged me just before. She goes, oh, my friend says that Benfica is going to be there. I'm coming. So I turn up. It's me, her, and a couple of her friends. And through my broken Portuguese, I'm talking to Nuno Gomes. David Luiz is there. And there was someone else very prominent that was there. It's going to come to me in a moment. Someone else prominent and a couple other players. And so sure enough, it's like, you know, not talking for very long. And I think Nuno Gomes was irritated by how shit my Portuguese was, to be fair. He repeatedly spoke to me in English.
I think he knows English, right?
Yeah, he speaks fluent English. But it was like, I guess to kind of talk to the other guys. Next thing I know, we're in their booth drinking. They're like, Nuno Gomes is pouring me glasses of champagne. Like, this is great. David Luiz is buzzing around. All these guys are just having a good time. And my girlfriend comes over and goes, I just got invited back to the hotel. I'm like, what? We're going to party with... Wait, you mean you got invited to the hotel? What the fuck? Like, I didn't... Here, the whole time I thought we were hanging out with these guys in the booth because I was cool, not because my girlfriend and her model friend were of interest. And there was another player that was there, and she goes, hey, she's like, did you speak to that creepy guy over there? And I look, and he's got like five buttons down. He's got greasy hair. And he looks like a great Portuguese guy. But I'm like, ugh, this guy. She's like, look, my glass is empty. Do you want to keep an eye on me? I'm going to go get us some drinks. I'm like, fine, go do it. And so she goes and sits down, and he like slides his arm around, and he goes, I know before the sex, and he like tried to like mimic what her nationality was, like with his hands. And she's like, oh, well, and you're not going to sex me tonight. takes the glass and walks over to me, and then that was the end of the night. And the player and the squad walked out. But yeah, she went home with me, boy. She's the ex, so may she rest in peace.
Nope. Yeah, yeah,
well, long time ago.
All right,
David Luiz was still on Benfica then. That was ages ago.
David Luiz gets down and dirty. We know that now.
Yeah, oh, shit, dirty dog.
All righty.
What club?
It's gone now. It was a Peter and remember when Peter and Adelaide were like was the spot?
Yeah.
I forget what the name of the club was.
Like Century Room or something.
No, it wasn't Century. That was King. Okay. This was higher. This was I wasn't the score. This was like behind. Well, the score was in the Hyatt. It was the club that was behind that. All that Richmond, Adelaide. Just young people will never know this.
Yeah.
You probably like club at. I was gonna make a reference to a place that isn't even there anymore. Your
Brunny?
No. Brunny. No. You're clubbing a Dog and Bear and you're clubbing a Rebel. You're like, Rebel, the best club ever. That knows nothing about the government. Yeah, I pay my taxes. No. It was a great club. It's a great club. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Brent.
My Avon of old, they're in a, you know, another place looking down. They'd be listening for sure. They'd be pretty happy. I've grown up to be very, very Portuguese and overcompensated in my adulthood.
Yeah.
Hanging out with you lot and naming my son super Portuguese name. Yeah.
Roque.
Hey, it's Roque. We appreciate it.
Hawk. Oh, there you go. Cheers, Zine.
I approve of the name.
Yeah.
Not Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it.